93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday. It is May 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Delaware County officer who was shot nearly 2 years ago had a gun pointed at him again while he was chasing two suspects wanted in a Chester homicide. Police issued a surveillance photo of one of the men they say was taken as he fired a gun at in the homicide Monday afternoon. It's a pretty clear shot of this guy, too. Investigators said that he and the other man then fled into neighboring Fulcroft in a rented Nissan with New York tags. It was in Fulcroft where they were pursued by two officers and ended up at the intersection of Carter and Edward Road at about 5:30. One of the officers was identified as Christopher Dorman. Officer Dorman survived being shot seven times, including once in the face in June of 2016 after being called to a report of a drug deal. Dorman recovered and went back to work a few months later. Police say the suspects abandoned the vehicle and fled on foot. One suspect turned around and pointed the gun at Officer Dorman, who returned several shots.
Sometimes you hear stories of officers who say, I've never even pulled my gun, in the line of duty. And here, look at this guy.
My gosh, so scary. It's unclear at this time if the suspect fired his gun. Police said that the men continued running, even crashing through a wooden border fence. Authorities aren't sure if the suspects were injured, but the officers were not, fortunately. Fulcroft police say one suspect is now also wanted for attempted homicide of a police officer. The search continues for both of them, and police are asking if you see either suspect to call 911. A fire damaged a historic hotel and restaurant in Bucks County, displacing at least 15 people. It happened at the Richland Town Inn in the 100 block of South Main Street shortly after midnight Tuesday. Firefighters were met with heavy flames coming out of the back of the building. Three or four people, they said, were still inside. Fire crews had to go in and get them out safely. The fire was mainly contained to the first floor and the restaurant. Two firefighters suffered minor injuries, and the Red Cross responded to the scene and are assisting those who are displaced. Though it is a hotel, most of the people who stay there are permanent residents. The hotel is a historic building in Richland Town. It was built in 1812. It had different names and uses over the years. Richland Town Inn currently includes an inn, tavern, and a restaurant. The son of a Boston police captain pleaded guilty Monday to plotting to use guns and homemade bombs to attack a college campus to support the Islamic State group 3 years after his arrest, after his father alerted the FBI. Alexander Kocholos, guilty plea comes a month before he was scheduled to go to trial. He faces 20 years in prison when he is sentenced in September. He was arrested in July of 2015 after he received four guns he ordered from a person who was cooperating with the FBI. Now, his father is a police captain, and he tipped off authorities after his son said that he wanted to join the Islamic State group.
Wow.
Yeah, federal authorities said that the case is a reminder that homegrown radicalization remains a threat and that citizens must speak up when they become aware of a potential threat. The 25-year-old was initially charged only with being a felon in possession of a firearm and stabbing a nurse in the head with a pen after he was brought to jail, but he was later indicted on attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization and attempting to use weapons of mass destruction. All right, in sports this morning.
You know, ball sacks are yummy.
Nick Pivetta struck out seven Braves over seven innings, and Nick Williams and Aaron Altair each hit home runs to lead the Phillies to a 3-0 win over Atlanta last night at the ballpark.
Go.
The Phillies took the opener of the three-game series and are now just a half game behind the Braves for first place in the National League East. The series continues tonight, and Vince Velasquez gets the start. Game time is at 7:05.
Lord,
in the NHL,
it's a miracle.
The Washington Capitals avoided elimination as they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-0 in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 7 is tomorrow night at Tampa Bay, and the winner faces the Vegas Golden Knights, who are in the Stanley Cup Final in their first season. In the NBA, LeBron James scored 44 points and helped the Cavaliers even the Eastern Conference Finals at 2-2 last night in Cleveland with a 111-102 win over the Boston Celtics. James is seeking a trip to his eighth straight finals. And to get back, the Cavs will have to win in Boston, where the Celtics are 9-0 this postseason. Game 5 is tomorrow night in Boston. Before last night's Bills game, left fielder Rhys Hoskins gave Doug Peterson some tips before the Eagles coach took batting practice. Peterson had already thrown out the first pitch at the home opener and won a hitting contest against some Eagles rookies before the game and earned a Louisville Slugger Tiger bat inscribed with the title 2018 Philadelphia Eagles batting champion. Coach Peterson and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So we are ready to go on this Tuesday morning. A few orders of business to cover, and maybe we should do our teacher first and foremost. So yesterday... Yesterday, we had asked the student body of Harry S. Truman High School in Levittown to get in touch with us and tell us who that they thought the coolest teacher of the year was, and they did. In fine fashion, thank you guys for all texting, and we appreciate it. And now the announcement, our coolest teacher of the year at Harry S. Truman High School is...
What is going on?
There's a bionic belcher on the loose.
Okay. Pay no attention, Casey.
Pay no attention to
me. I thought it was Steve.
Totally was Steve.
Our coolest teacher of the year from Harry S. Truman High School is Mr. Ed Black.
Mr. Black. Hey, that's right up your alley there, Preston.
Yeah. Well, how so?
Isn't that from the Dark Tower? Who's the... No,
that was Walter O'Dim.
Okay.
But...
you agreed and then said, wait, how?
He's the man in black.
That's it.
But he said that Mr. Black sounds like he'd be something out of Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
So, in fact, they wouldn't allow anybody to be Mr. Black in Reservoir Dogs since everybody wanted to be Mr.
Right.
Black. All right, so Mr. Black teaches English and journalism.
Oh.
At Harry S. Truman High School, which is very cool. Yeah, and in fact, he is apparently, according to his page, he teaches, quote, Truman's coolest sophomores. and he also teaches journalism to Truman's coolest reporters. So he likes to
label. He's all about the coolest.
He likes to label his students as coolest. On the curriculum this year is Animal Farm.
Oh, that's a great book.
A classic.
One of my favorites.
There's a Shakespeare field trip to see The Tempest coming up.
Mm.
And also Roald Dahl inspired memes. So there you go. That's what's on the curriculum this year. And congratulations, Mr. Black from Harry S. Truman High School. And we're going to give him, of course, the Preston Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug and a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card, because this whole thing is presented by Rita's Water Ice, and some free turkey bacon and $50 in cash from God Shoals, the real wood smoked turkey bacon. So I want you to remember that Rita's Water Ice gift cards make a great teacher's gift.
They do.
So please go out and get them for the teacher. And if Mr. Black wants to call in, love to hear from him this morning. All right, who's next? Casey.
I'm next.
You get to choose the next school up for voting.
I get nervous every time this happens.
He reaches into the jar of all the names of the schools that we have written on little slips of paper. He is pulling out one. He has it now. Who will it be?
Malvern Preparatory School in Malvern, PA.
Malvern Prep. Let's have you get on board now, Malvern Prep, and let us know who the coolest teacher of the past year has been, according to you. And it's very simple, but it's very specific on how you need to do this. You text the word teacher. That's the first thing you type into the field there, teacher, and then the teacher's name to 39333. So it'll be like, you know, teacher Mrs. So-and-so, or teacher Mr. So-and-so, or teacher their last name, however you want to do it, but just the word teacher has to come first. And it's 39333. So Malvern Prep, somebody that went above and beyond this year as a teacher, we want to hear about it. And I'd like to reiterate that we would like to acknowledge grade school teachers as well, or
yes,
middle school teachers, but we really want to hear from the students themselves, and the best way to do it is via text, and that is why we have focused on high school teachers. But this really is a representation of everybody in that position, and we thank you for what you do. So please get in touch with us. Yeah, Nick.
The girls in my high school that did not want to date Conestoga boys dated Malvern Prep girls.
I would date Malvern Prep guys.
There's more money involved, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I think you even admitted it, Nick. You dated Malvern Prep guys.
Casey just admitted it, but yeah, sure, me too.
All right, so we have a few things on the program today. We are having Tattoos Day taking place. Listener Patrick is coming in, and I think it's Listener Patrick, right?
Listener Patrick is coming
in. Troy is going to be doing the tattoos. Yes. That's the way it goes. Our friends from Deeds and Watson are here for a real Philly Deli face-off, the final four, so we'll be giving those details later on. And we have our good friend Mark Summers calling in today, and all it says on our sheet is that he has big news to share with us. We were off air trying to figure out what that might be. We really don't know what it is.
I actually did a little research.
A couple of ideas.
Yeah, and I was I noticed that about 3 or 4 months ago, he had his Adam's apple shaved down. So.
Oh, okay.
I think he might transition. Yeah, I'm not sure. Huh. Michelle Summers. Yeah. Could be the name, so I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll find out. He's going to get in touch with us around 9. Guess what? Our coolest teacher's on the phone.
Wow. Oh, my God!
Yeah, already. That was very quick. So let's welcome Mr. Ed Black to the program. Truman High School. Mr. Black, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, you know what? We found out the other day that Harry S. Truman High School has been drawn before for coolest teacher, and it may have indeed been the drama teacher that was the inspiration for Rise, who won it from us. Who was that again?
Mr. Volpe.
Mr. Volpe. That is correct. Yeah. And he's no longer with the school, correct?
No, he retired maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
I would say.
All right.
And,
well.
Yeah, he was probably the coolest teacher ever to come through there. So.
You know, this means, Mr. Black, soon you'll have your own television series. Yeah. It stands to reason, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's totally justified, but it does stand to reason, yeah.
It'll be based around Animal Farm, so it'll be a home run.
Hey, Ed, how long have you been with the school?
12 years.
12 years.
Nice. So you've seen a lot of students come and go. How about any of them get back in touch with you, let you know what they've been up to in their lives?
Yeah, a lot of them, when they get to college, will come back in the first year or two. And then if all goes according to plan after that, they kind of forget about you. That should really...
They go off and forget. That's the payoff.
They should move on and just take what you taught them.
Now, and so you teach English and journalism. Are those two separate classes, I assume? And do you prefer one over the other?
No, I don't think I could say that this morning in case any of them are listening.
Well, one is essential for the other, so they work hand in hand.
And I've taught 10th grade longer, so maybe have a slight sweet spot for it, but I do love both of them.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, 10th grade is an interesting class to teach, I would imagine, because you've gotten over the freshman jitters, and here you are, kind of a veteran of the high school, but you still got a little ways to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're really, really still in development at that point.
Yeah, half of them are adults and half of them are like middle school kids. So you end up with an interesting mix in each class.
Yeah. Nice. So this year has been an enjoyable one so far?
Yes. And it's easier to say with only a couple weeks left.
Yes. As the man about town says, you can see the barn door.
Yeah. How about summer plans? Anything exciting?
No, nothing out of the usual. Trip down the shore and road trip with my daughter. So.
Ah, okay. Nice.
That'll be nice. How old's your daughter?
She's 11.
Oh, cool. I have one of those at home. Nice, man. It's a good time.
You guys should go together, Preston.
I can often relate to your story.
Thanks, brother. All right. Well, listen, we have a very cool little setup for you here. We have, of course, the Preston Steve Coolest His Share of the Year coffee mug. We got a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card and some turkey bacon and $50 from Godshall's Turkey. Just a little nod from the students of the school that want to say you're doing great and a congrats on that, man.
Thank you. And thank you guys for doing this each year. It's definitely a cool thing that you guys have come up with and done for the teachers. I appreciate it. I know a lot of teachers appreciate it.
Very nice.
All right. Well, enjoy. Have a great summer. And thanks for coming on, Mr. Ed Black, Harry S. Truman High School. And the next school that is up for voting is Malvern Prep. So the same thing. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 39333. And we'll find out tomorrow morning. We'll give you about roughly 24 hours to text in and let us know. And we'll find out tomorrow. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. And we'll roll out some of those entertainment stories. A lot of awards were handed out last night. And I'll explain that when we get back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the stupid question this morning, we are going to give away a $50 giant gift card if you can answer this correctly. What artifact found in 1799 allowed linguists to translate Egyptian hieroglyphics?
Ah.
215-263-WMMR. What artifact, it was found in 1799, allowed linguists to translate Egyptian hieroglyphs, actually, not hieroglyphics, hieroglyphs, 215-263-WMMR.
It's like Egyptian Mad Libs.
Let's see if you can get it right. Call now. And in the meantime, I'm going to go through some birthdays while you're waiting on this 22nd day of May. It's Morrissey's birthday today. Stephen Patrick Morrissey, to be more specific.
Probably the most perpetually pissed off guy on the planet.
Former frontman of the Smiths.
And pissed off or sad?
Pissed off and sad.
Okay. Sad and pissed off. Love this song.
This is the only song that I love.
Yeah.
59. the rest of it's garbage.
I'm a big Smiths fan.
It's all your own opinion.
Yeah.
No. You're a big Smiths fan?
Oh, absolutely.
You like big a whole Smiths bunch fan? Of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't get past the, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
I am. I hate it. I'm actually really pissed off. No, I just don't care for him. He's 59 today. Naomi Campbell has her birthday today. British supermodel.
She's pissed off, too.
She's perpetually pissed off.
She beats up her assistants all the time. Right, you know, she beats them with Morrissey CD.
She's 48 years old today. It is Ted Kaczynski's birthday, and I've summed
He's upset!
I have summed up Ted Kaczynski in this one clip.
Hey, Jerry. In the 1960s, there was a young man graduated from University of Michigan. Did some brilliant work in mathematics, specifically bounded harmonic functions. Then he went on to Berkeley, was assistant professor, showed amazing potential. Then he moved to Montana, and he blew the competition away.
Yeah, so who was he?
Ted Kaczynski.
I haven't heard of him.
Hey, Timmy!
Yo, who's Ted Kaczynski?
Unabomber, that's who he is.
76 today. They have his shed somewhere in a museum. It might be, is it the Smithsonian?
It's right next to Fonzie's jacket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the American history?
pop culture
division?
Kermit's there and the Ruby Slippers.
And then Ted Kaczynski's hut.
Yeah.
It was his brother who was crucial in turning him in.
Yeah, yep, exactly. He's 76 today. Jennifer Goodwin, actress. She was
really cute.
Walk the Line and Big Love. He's Just Not That Into You.
Once Upon a Time, she plays Snow White.
And she is the big 4-0 today.
Wow.
Richard Benjamin, actor from movies like Westworld and Catch 22.
He's great. He's also in Preston Love at First Bite.
Is he?
Yeah, he is Van Helsing. Oh, he's Van Helsing's nephew or something.
Yeah, that's right.
He's very funny.
He is funny. He's 80 today. Bernie Taupin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Elton John's lyricist. The guy's written some really cool stuff.
You know what's a song I was listening to yesterday? Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters.
Yeah.
Such a good song.
His lyrics are, some of them are poignant and cool, and some of them are really offbeat and odd.
What does it mean? Well, yes.
You know?
Exactly. And yet, the ones, I forget, there's a song about a young boy meeting his brother as a baby, and it's a beautifully told story of a family bringing another child into the house, and that's a very clear Bernie Taupin narrative. And then there are ones that are cryptic, and you sing them and you don't know what they mean.
There's for example, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. You know, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, where the dogs of society howl. You can't lock me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow. Back to the howling owl out in the woods, hunting the horny-backed toad.
Yeah,
it's a toad, but hunting the horny-backed toad. So goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. And it just, for some reason,
it works.
You never really think about it,
but
and if you ever look at the lyrics of Benny and the Jets, they're really strange, too. But it fits perfectly with Elton John. He's great. 68 years old today. Bernie Taupin. Bernard Shaw, former newscaster, has his birthday today. He's 78 years old.
He was one of the first anchors on cable TV to get any merit, right? He was CNN for a long time, was he not?
I remember he got an interview with Saddam Hussein before the first Gulf War
started.
Before the networks, before the actual main networks.
And that was a huge deal. And so, like, there was all that buildup in 1990. And then Bernie Taupin.
Tonight, we talk to Bernie Taupin.
Different Bernard. Bernard Shaw.
Yeah, Bernard Shaw and Preston. And you. After that, he emceed the MTV Beach House.
Oh, wow. So he's done it all, man.
Yeah.
He's got a connection to Philadelphia, and I've forgotten what it is.
Actually, Steve Harvey bought his mustache.
Oh, okay. And wove it into his own?
Wow.
I don't know what that has to do with Philadelphia. But anyhow, Bernard Shaw has his birthday, and he is 78 today. And then the last birthday, I saw a young lady who's actually been in our studio before, and we all thought she was pretty awesome. Cameron Bikondova, I guess
Her
name, from Gotham. She plays the Catwoman character, Selina.
She's really been great throughout the series. She's come into her own. Next year will be the final year for Gotham, Preston, and they're going to wrap it up because young Bruce Wayne will fully become Batman at the end of next year.
I thought she looked like a young Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, God, yeah.
When she was here.
And she's great.
She's 19 years old, by the way. So happy birthday to her. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. What artifact allowed linguists to translate Egyptian hieroglyphs? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I'm going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Matt. So what's the answer? What is it that they found, the artifact?
Rosetta Stone.
The Rosetta Stone.
Yes.
Yep. Hang on live with our information.
Same one you can buy in airports, Preston.
And we are going to set you up, Mr. Matt, with a $50 giant gift card. And we all want to save money, save time, and eat well every day. And Giant helps make that possible and even easy. So why shop anywhere else? All right, let's go with this. After a picture-perfect royal wedding, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle celebrated by releasing their official wedding portraits yesterday. Taken by fashion photographer Alexei Lomborski. Labermisky, I guess I say the last name. They did it in the green drawing room at Windsor Castle after the carriage procession, and they showed a gathering of the entire royal family, the bridal party, and Miss Markle's mother, Doria Ragland. The Duke and Duchess, this was the official spokesperson, saying the Duke and Duchess of Sussex would like to thank everyone who took part in the celebrations of their wedding on Saturday. They feel so lucky to have been able to share their day with all those gathered in Windsor and also all those who watched the wedding on television across the UK, Commonwealth, and around the world.
And the picture's playful, though. The Queen is doing the split fingers with her tongue between them.
Baby's not in the picture, though.
Whose baby?
Kate and William.
Yeah, he wasn't invited. Remember, they gave him to a sitter or something like that because he was too young?
Keep the little S-factory at home.
You'd think that they would come, you know, for the picture and then the sitter could take him.
Well, it's a full family picture, right? Yeah, I think you would include the baby. Alive. I don't know, but it's a really nice picture.
Other photographs feature just the bride and groom and the lovebirds with their bridal party. Also, Monday, the palace released her official royal bio, which focused more on her feminist ideals than her background as an actress. The first few paragraphs made it clear that Ms. Markle will bring her work as an activist and philanthropist into her life as a royal. While royals traditionally avoid getting political, the palace appears to have changed things up with Ms. Markle. The bio notes, in part, in 2005, the Duchess became the UN Women's Advocate for Women's Political Participation and Leadership. In this role, she gave a speech on the importance of gender equality on International Women's Day for UN Women in New York City. Ahead of her appointment to this role, Her Royal Highness spent time at the UN's New York office to understand the organization's day-to-day work before embarking on a learning mission to Rwanda. They are covering that side of her, plan.
Yeah, sure. She's got an agenda as well. And after the picture pressed yesterday when they were taking the photos, they all got together and they did the Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
A little dated, but, you know.
It's just, over there, things take time to travel. But in light of the way they came out of the church.
Yeah, that had to be going right along with that. So outside of the royal wedding stuff, there were a few different awards that took place last night and some winning of competitions. Maddie Pope was crowned this season's winner of American Idol last night, hailing from Clarksville, Iowa.
Maddie?
Yeah, Maddie.
Maddie.
Yeah.
Maddie Pope?
Maddie.
I guess it's how you say her last name, P-O-P-P-E.
Yeah. Yeah, you know me.
The 20-year-old singer-songwriter has been a fan favorite since the start of the season, wowing with folk pop renditions of classic songs by the Beach Boys, Sinead O'Connor, and the Bangles.
This is amazing. Stop and think about what her... Yesterday, she was like a nobody, and tomorrow, she'll be a nobody.
Yeah. She bested the top three finalists, Caleb Lee Hutchinson, a deep-voiced country crooner, and Gabby Barrett, who came in third.
What happened to Cade?
Oh, God.
He's in the top seven.
He sang Simple Man, and everybody was like, okay.
Get out of here.
Get out.
Pope broke down in tears when host Ryan Seacrest called her name. We have audio of
yes.
that, so I'll do that. Is this the announcement, Casey?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's the announcement.
It just says American Idol winner Matty Pope, so here we go.
Matty and Caleb, good luck to both of you. Let me have a vote, please, with the nationwide vote. Take a deep breath. And for the final time of the season, dim the lights, and here we go. After the nationwide vote, the winner of American Idol is Matty Poppy. Congratulations,
Poppy. Poppy.
All right.
Shows how much we watch.
Yeah. Right. I like Ryan Seacrest, but he's a little too announcery.
Well, it seemed to me as I was listening to this case is that he actually has ratcheted it down from the Fox version. This is the ABC, obviously.
You should see him introduce every single time. He goes...
Yeah, I thought he pumped it up a bit.
He goes, and this... is American Idol. Okay. And I'm like, seriously?
Do you think he had to? Because
he was bobbing back and forward while he did
and that.
And that
whole pause, like, yeah. Yes!
Yeah.
And he's got that face. I'm like, okay, all right. Easy, buddy.
Well, there's no Simon Cowell on the show anymore, yeah. Right?
Do you think he's the star.
He's the number one, right? I mean, like, does he outshine Lionel and Katy Perry and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, he's the most constant.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You should do that at the beginning of our show, Casey.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that for you.
Can you do that? This is the President Steve Show, but pause with that face again, okay. If you don't mind, because I love
it. Hold on, we need video of it.
Yeah.
Relax. Wait.
Okay.
Okay, Kathy wants to get it.
Kathy's going to get it for you.
Got a 70-pound phone in her hand.
Mm-hmm. And this is Preston and Steve.
Yeah.
There we go.
Do that on Friday at Keenan's.
All right.
Except do it around 9:30.
Press, yeah, I think you would like this Matty Poppy chick. Oh, she was...
You wouldn't.
She No, just the kind of the way she looks or whatever, but she was not the best vocalist of the entire performance.
They're talented, yeah. But I mean, look at the history of the show.
Yeah.
Look at the history of the show. How many legit... There's been...
Well...
A tremendous amount of winners and runners-up, and there's only a handful that we know by name.
Carrie Underwood, for instance, they had her perform a few weeks ago, and she was awesome balls.
She was awesome,
awesome balls.
She was amazing.
She was amazing sauce.
But she was great, and you could see, this is what a vocalist really should look like. Look at her.
Yeah.
I mean, she was just awesome all the way through and just so solid. And, you know, and then you have these kids come out and, you know, they're okay. Like that Caleb guy, he's a handsome young man.
There are some that stand out amongst the other winners. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Cade.
What's that? No,
Cade.
Kelly
Clarkson?
No, I was just listening to her the other day. She didn't win.
Jennifer Hudson. Now that's a voice.
That's an amazing singer
A voice.
Anyhow, Poppy broke down in tears. She struggled to get through the Coronation song Going, Going, Gone, which is her first single on Hollywood Records. Fortunately, she got some help from this season's top 10 contestants who ran on stage to hug her and chime in on the chorus. Shortly before the final results were announced, Hutchinson revealed to Poppy... is that she is his girlfriend, sending the audience screaming and swooning as the duo launched into a sweet stripped-down take on Over the Rainbow.
Are they stripped?
No. You can catch the top seven, Poppy, Hutchinson, Barrett, Turner, Michael J. Woodard, Journey, and Cade Fainer on tour across the U.S. this summer with American Idol Live, which kicks off July 11th in Redding, California.
I'm Cade Fainer, and thank you all for coming to the Bombay Room with the Ramada Inn by the airport.
Yep. So they're touring together. Now, Dancing with the Stars was wrapped up last night.
My heart can't take it.
I know. Dancing with the Stars athletes last night, and Adam Rippon and Jenna Johnson won the whole thing. The Olympic ice skater and his professional partner beat out their fellow finalists, former ice skater Tanya Harding and Sasha Farber. So they made it. She made it really far.
She did make it far.
And NFL cornerback Josh Norman and Sharna Burgess to take home the coveted mirror trophy ball.
Adam was very resolute in the fact that he would get the mirror ball, and he did.
Yep. So they got it. ABC's abbreviated four-week season was hosted by Tom Bergeron and Aaron Andrews. So this is a shorter
just
one.
4 weeks? 4 weeks?
Yeah, that was it. So they just did, but they had athletes. I guess they had fewer contestants for this one.
Kath, did you watch any of this?
No. You know what? I watched, you know what's funny? I watched one performance, and it was Tanya Harding, and she did some sort of like country. I think it was like a country song or something, and the show has become so cheesy where they have added, like, they had a guy in a bear costume.
Why?
While she was performing. It was like part of the performance. It was so bizarre and cheesy. I passed over.
Oh, my okay. God. What the hell's going on?
Oh, my God.
I took a huge swig of coffee right when she said the word Tanya Harding.
Oh. Just caught him off guard.
Ow, that hurt.
Comedy is all about
really, I had to really keep from spitting that out, and I had, oh, man, that hurt my throat.
You know, though, these are just as much popularity contests as they are actual ability, dance ability.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with American Idol. It's a popularity thing. And
here's the bear, Kathy. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, it was so cheesy. Dumb.
It looks like the Nittany Lion from Penn State.
Right, and like
it's not during, even a bear costume.
During their performance, this bear kept running through the stage. It was ridiculous. I was
what the
like,
hell
okay,
for?
This is it was part of their like the, you can see the scene in the background. It's like they were in the woods,
like
and
into
camping
the woods.
And,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
I'm sure Adam Rippon goes camping all the time.
All right, no, that was Tanya Harding.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah, that's Tanya Harding on the left there.
So. Yeah, and that's like her actual house in the background.
She lives
yeah.
out in the woods. Yeah. All right, anyhow, he won it. Adam Rippon is a figure skater, became the first openly gay U.S. male athlete to medal in the Winter Olympics. He earned a combined judges score of 58 out of 60 during Monday's finale.
Not bad.
Wait a second. Johnny Weir wasn't openly gay when he...
No. So that would constitute the world's worst kept secret.
No,
Weir medal? That's the thing. This is the guy who medaled. Okay, he did. All right.
He just was not openly gay when he was in the Olympics. Adam Rippon made a point to talk about his sexuality. Johnny Weir did not.
Throughout this season's abbreviated competition, Rippon impressed judges with his dancing skills alongside partner Jenna Johnson. The three finalists showed off their dancing technique for the last time in two separate routines. The first was a choreographed number, but the second was the athlete's highly anticipated freestyle routine. So they did freestyle.
But here's a perfect example. You know, take a guy who's a linebacker, and you have figure skaters.
I know.
Who are naturally inclined to be dancers.
Yeah. Well, they always do that. The last dance is always a freestyle.
They've got to change it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But he was I actually watched a millisecond of it last night, and the dude, Josh Norman, he was good.
Yeah. Was he?
He was light on his feet.
Well, he's a cornerback, so yeah.
He's not a big, burly guy. Mm-mm. And his partner is pretty hot, too. That's what I was saying.
That's the reason to watch that show.
Those professional dancers. Yep. All right, so there was another award.
Oh, my God. The awards just were handed out like crazy.
Miss USA was chosen last night.
Amazeballs.
It was,
Amazeballs.
Awesome sauce.
Awesome balls.
Awesome balls. We've switched it up. And here, we'll do the announcement. This is it, the announcement.
The selection committee and the viewers at home have made their final decisions. Second runner-up for Miss USA is Nevada! Two women remain, Nebraska and North Carolina. Now, if for any reason the winner is unable to fulfill her duties, the first runner-up will take her place.
Miss USA 2018 is... Nebraska!
So that is Sarah Rose Summers is her name.
Didn't Nick Lachey sound like Pacino at the beginning of that?
Is that that's who that was?
Nick Lachey and his wife.
She is going
to announce the winners of the contest.
So they did this in Shreveport, Louisiana.
I saw it on. I jumped in and out of it. The women are all, as you would well imagine, stunning. But there's just no reason to watch it.
It used to be, well, I'm sorry, is this the same thing? This isn't Miss America.
Miss USA.
This is Miss USA. Okay. It's not Miss America.
Miss USA was never really a thing.
Miss America has a little bit more weight to it.
Yes.
The
women are heavier.
The 23-year-old Summers has two college degrees and is working on becoming a certified child life specialist. Summers drew big cheers from the audience when in response to the question asked of the final three contestants, what would you write on a blank sign on the way to a march? See, she said she'd encourage people to, quote, speak your voice. And called on people to listen to each other, saying that it was something people in the U.S. needed to do. She will represent the U.S. in the Miss Universe.
Always be amazeballs.
Always be awesome balls.
Awesome balls.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we have here. Barack and Michelle Obama have inked a production deal with Netflix. The streaming giant shared on Twitter, President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have entered into a multi-year agreement to produce films and series for Netflix, potentially including scripted series, unscripted series, docuseries, documentaries, and features.
And there's a stand-up special coming out in August.
The special will be, the partnership will provide the Obamas with a platform that reaches 118 million subscribers around the world, and they will reportedly focus on stories of inspiration.
Wow. All right, so Casey asked a question yesterday about the internet, and I have a question today, because there was a photo that was circulating last week with Barack and Michelle Obama staring lovingly at one another.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in between them on the other side of the photo looking back towards the camera, and it was a weird photobomb, and I'm wondering if the photo was legit. It just looked like a dude looking through the window, and I'm really curious all as right. to whether or not there's an actual photo.
You brought up something. I've seen that picture. It seems legit.
Is it?
It seems legit.
Okay.
All right. So in the clickbait portion of every website that you go to, or most of them, there is a picture of some woman in the water at the beach with something draped over her shoulders, and she's like in agony. Have you ever seen this?
No.
Is this real, or is this...
I don't know if I've seen
like
that one or not.
It looks like some sort of sea creature that...
There's been enough of those to where, okay, you know, it says you won't believe what happened in this photo. And I'm like, all right, I'll bite. I do want to see what that picture's all about. And you never get to it.
You never get that photo.
That photo's not in that series of pictures.
Oh, really?
So, Nick, you've not seen it?
A ton of times.
I'm sure that I have, Steve, because I'm a sucker for that clickbait stuff, too. But I just don't know this one that you're
She's
talking
like
about.
She's like this, Preston, right? And there's this, it looks like almost looks like a squid or something draped across her shoulders.
I haven't seen
the agony this
seen.
Woman felt. Well,
there's enough of those where I've just let them they bleed together.
I know, I don't want to lose the battle on that. So occasionally, just as you just said, you become a sucker. You go, right,
and then you don't find it.
Hollywood says goodbye to Sylvester, and you find out he left. He was at LAX,
right?
Goodbye.
The New York Times first published news of the rumored deal in March. Michelle Obama also recently announced that her memoir, Becoming, will be out in the fall. Barack Obama is also working on an untitled memoir that Penguin Random House paid them a reported $60 million for, a joint deal on their books.
Awesome Balls is the name of it.
So, welcome, Romeo Alejandro David Baldwin. Proud parents Alec and Hilaria revealed the name of their fourth child together on social media. So it's Romeo Alejandro David Baldwin.
Do we know Hilaria's background and ancestry? Is she...
Nope. Okay. I have no idea.
Hilaria is a unique name.
It is a unique name. I don't really know. But she had written, we are happy to introduce you to Romeo Alejandro David Baldwin.
Huh.
That's it.
All right.
Picture of the sun.
He still
not the sun. Not the sun in the sky. The child.
The corona killed my eyes. The kid is beautiful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. She's Spanish.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Amber Heard has moved on from tech titan Elon Musk to art world star Vito Schnabel.
Schnabel?
Name Schnabel. Vito Schnabel.
Mrs. Amber Schnabel.
Yeah.
She's writing it on her notebook.
Schnabel. Well, he recently split from Heidi Klum.
Yes, so I know, yeah.
He's got a nice track record.
You were reporting on the Schnabel-Klum pairing for a long time.
Heard and Schnabel were seen in the West Village locking lips during breakfast.
Oh, man.
They were first photographed together shortly before she flew out of New York City for the Cannes Film Festival.
She looks so stellar in her Aquaman costume, mm-hmm. which you caught a brief glimpse of, or a little bit of, in Justice League.
She, of course, was married to Johnny Depp.
She was a when she was in our studio, she was a lesbian, right?
She has always been bi.
She's bi.
Yes. Okay. So she because obviously she's with the I'm a cowboy, no chick.
Yes. So she maybe she is fluid in her sexuality. I do not know, Casey.
Or she's pansexual.
She might be pansexual. So anyhow, she is apparently with Vito Schnabel right now. That's the word on the street.
Table for two, Schnabel.
The Oscar-nominated Giancarlo Giannini is joining the cast of George Clooney's Catch-22, a limited series based on the novel by Joseph Heller. I've never read Catch-22.
I have read Catch-22. It takes place during World War II. It is a bizarre book. It's sort of comedic. To be honest, I didn't understand the book that much when I saw the movie, which is equally confusing. It was a lot more enjoyable because there are legitimate laughs in Catch-22, but it's not meant to be a beginning to end comedy. Yeah. It has some very serious stuff in it.
The series debut on Hulu in 2019. Giannini is best known for his U.S. roles in 007 films, including Casino Royale.
He was great in Casino Royale.
Yep. Clooney will also star alongside Christopher Abbott, Hugh Laurie, and Kyle Chandler. Giannini will play the role of a brothel owner in Rome.
In Barcelona?
In Barcelona. Jake Gyllenhaal is in talks to play the villain Mysterio in Sony Pictures' Spider-Man Homecoming sequel.
Interesting.
Mysterio, a bubble-headed baddie, joined the Spider-Man universe in 1964. Gyllenhaal was recently booked for The American, the Cary Fukunaga-helmed drama about the life of Leonard Bernstein.
Is Mysterio's brain visible?
You know what? I don't think you see anything.
Okay.
I think it's like a bubble, almost like a
opaque.
Yeah, they have it shaded all the
time. Okay, all right.
And you can't really see who's in there, but it's almost like a
It's almost like an
astronaut's, you know,
yeah.
a glass bubble on their head, like their helmet. And
is he particularly brilliant? I'm not that well versed in Mysterio.
I looked it up real quick because I wasn't either, Steve. And he apparently can cause you to hallucinate and see things that aren't there and project delusions and things like that. And he has access to gases, almost like a Scarecrow. Did in Batman. Gases like that. He brings Tanya Harding along. He just flips her upside down. And she shoots one of those.
And he cocks her leg.
All right.
Okay, now, yes. Now I've seen this before.
Yeah, once
you're
you
right.
see the outfit, you recognize him. But I don't know too much about Mysterio. All right, and then finally, and this is really not a good one to end on, but this is what I have for you. Jet Li, the action star.
Oh, my God.
Revealed in 2013 that he suffers from hyperthyroidism.
I saw a picture of him yesterday.
And a heart condition, yeah, and that's why he's in the news. On a recent appearance in Tibet, he appeared so frail that fans became concerned about the martial art icon's health. He's also suffered several onset injuries and has admitted that he can no longer stand up straight for long periods of time.
So look at this, Kathy. This is the same guy, just like a couple years apart.
Yeah. So he has.
That's so sad.
He has hyperthyroidism. Steve and I both have hypothyroidism. Yeah. Hypothyroidism makes you gain weight, and hyperthyroidism is the opposite. It makes you lose weight. So he looks really frail.
Mm. How many years apart is that?
It's just a couple. Is it 10, maybe?
Probably 10 years, something like that.
I mean, that's a drastic aging process.
Yeah, so people are concerned about him. Most recently, he has dedicated his time to the One Foundation, which focuses on disaster relief in China. So he's got some health issues, and hopefully he's getting proper treatment for that.
Steve, I think I have two answers to our questions.
Yes.
The one that I brought up about the Obamas is photoshopped. It was the lady who apparently called the cops on a black family in Oakland. And so that is clearly not legit.
That's clearly not legit.
Apparently she's being photoshopped into a lot of different photos, including the one where the Obamas are looking at one another. And then the other one that you brought up might be a lady with a stingray on her back.
Oh.
And that worked its way into a Reddit stream at some point. And
okay.
Now has been used as a way to clickbait, viral photo sensation, that kind of a thing.
So it's a stingray on her back, we believe.
Yeah, there's that Stingray City in the Caymans, I think it is.
Oh, yes.
And so she's playing with the stingrays and this thing's crawling up her back. Is this the one you're referring
to? This thing,
to?
That's it.
Yeah, so that's a stingray. Oh,
so it's just freaking her out that the thing's on her back.
Yeah.
And they don't hurt you when they're
completely
in but look at her. She looks like she's about to die.
Down there in Stingray City.
Stingray City. Mm-hmm.
Thank you!
All right. Let's get to clips.
Thank you.
could play all songs that have the word city in them.
Stingray!
You got any other ones?
All right, sure.
Okay, how about it? Yeah, go ahead. What's this?
Oh, man.
Summer in the... What?
Hot down, summer in the city.
That's what he was hoping for.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Hot down, summer in the city,
back of my neck. It's a freaking stingray.
All right. It's a freaking stingray. All right, I don't think we have
another... All right, no, we don't.
...other city songs.
Nope.
Can we move along?
Is that conceivable?
The 100 follows a group of teens reestablishing society after a nuclear apocalypse. And here, Bob Morley talks about the segregation on Earth. Here we go.
There's no longer this real community of the 100, it feels like. You know, everyone's got their people now. And, you know, there's a lot of the my people, your people stuff. In this particular season, it's definitive as to who people are loyal to.
You just made a mess in my mouth. The new episode of The 100 airs tonight, 9 o'clock on the CW. Let's do the next clip. NCIS airs its season finale tonight, marking the final episode with actress Pauly Perrette, who has decided to leave the show. In this clip, she talks about new future possibilities. Here it is.
I'm being offered a lot. There's a lot of conversations going on. And there's me sitting at home on the couch. I can be with my dogs.
Wow. Not much there. The season finale premieres tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS.
That was horrible.
That was bad.
So who's... There. This is the Mark Harmon series, right?
Yeah.
So who did I just see as a major actress is on the show?
Major actress?
Yeah.
Well, Lauren Holly was on it for a stretch.
I just saw... I forgot. I'm having a brain fart, but in the episode, apparently she was tortured over in Iraq.
A new episode, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's the episode tonight.
Nick, we'll pull that IMDb up, and we'll see who's on the cast of the current NCIS.
It's been on since 2003, this show.
Isn't that astonishing?
It's just one of those...
It just never stops.
That is just chugged along.
You know, the show's Supernatural, right? 13 years.
Uh-huh. Really?
13 years.
Oh, Maria Bello.
That's it.
There we go.
Wow, I didn't know she was on there.
And Wilmer Valderrama.
Yes, as Fez.
Handy Mandy.
Interesting.
Or what? Handy Mandy?
Handy
right?
Mandy. Mandy.
Not Handy not Mandy. Handy.
Not, give me a Handy Mandy.
That's a great show.
Yes,
so
you
far.
Can.
Oh, my God.
Betting a thousand.
It's awesome, balls.
All of us are. All right. We're done.
Yeah,
we're done.
And yes, I have stuff to give away. So we have a movie screening, and it is coming up on May 31st at the UA King of Prussia. It is this movie, Action Point. And this is Johnny Knoxville in this. And there's something really cool coming up. By the way, I'll take 10 callers, and I'll put you on this list. 215-263-WMMR. You will need to be there no later than 7:30. So... Join us at Keenan's, obviously, for the big party on Friday. There's a chance you may win a trip for two to the premiere of Action Point on May 31st at the Archlight Hollywood in Hollywood, California. Yay! This trip includes airfare, two nights at a Santa Monica area hotel, admission to the premiere, $175 Visa gift card for meals and sightseeing, a two-hour beach bar cycle tour for two.
Wow.
And more. So we are giving this away at Keenan's Live on Friday.
Those bar cycles are wild. There's like 30, 40 people on this vehicle moving along, and it's a moving bar. So this movie appears to be part Jackass, part scripted comedy.
And it's a riff on Action Park.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the theme park that nearly killed several people in New Jersey. But they're loosely basing it on that. But it's called Action Point. We'll take 10 callers, put you on the list. And if you come out on Friday, you never know. You might be the one that wins that trip that we have to give away. We're going to take a break. A reminder, coolest teacher of the year for our school today. We have chosen Malvern Prep in Malvern, PA. You got a teacher that meant something special to you this year? Let us know about it. Text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We have Mr. Ed Black from Harry S. Truman High School win it for yesterday's voting. And now we're going to look to see who gets it at Malvern Prep. So get in touch with us. We're going to take a break. Be back in just a little bit.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or anti-social.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Casey wants me to make a programming note from our stupid question winner earlier this morning. I had given the wrong prize information out. It was actually a $150 Fogo to Show gift card.
Oh!
Man, you can visit them in Philadelphia, King of Prussia, and at Fogo.com.
That's awesome.
I love that place.
Yeah. Yes.
It's high time that I go back there. It's been a little while.
You can gorge yourself.
Fogo to Show.
Have you been to that new one in King of Prussia?
I have.
Yeah, it's nice.
Great.
Yeah, right by the Wegmans Shopping Center. Yeah.
Yep, it's fantastic. All right, so a gentleman by the name of Robert Indiana had passed away. Robert Indiana, the pop artist, and he is the man that gave us the Love Statue.
Oh, cool.
Legendary Love Statue.
He had his whole Love series in the 1960s, and he died at his island home off of the coast of Maine. He was 89 years old. And he lived a pretty reclusive life towards the end of
his. That's what I hear, yeah. That's, I don't know. That's always seemed sad to me, unless it was a wonderful reclusive life.
Friends had expressed concern for his well-being because the reclusive artist had not been heard from for some time. And actually, a lawsuit filed in New York City the day before his death suggested that he was purposefully isolated by his caretakers.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
I certainly hope that's not the case.
That would suck.
The artist's love sculpture, in which the L and the leaning O sit atop the V and E, is instantly recognizable worldwide, but he has created other works as well and fashioned a hope design similar to love in honor of former President Barack Obama. In some ways, this is according to Dan Mills, the director of the Bates College Museum of Art in Maine. He said, in some ways, he was perhaps seen as the proverbial one-hit wonder because love was so immensely iconic and immensely huge in pop culture. For better or for worse, it overshadowed some of his other contributions, they said.
They recently put a new finish on it, right?
They removed it, cleaned it up.
We had one on our college campus.
I saw that recently. I was on Ursinus's campus a few weeks ago, and I had no idea that was there. It was really cool.
It was. That one's bigger than the actual Love Statue, right?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. There's okay. also one on Penn's campus. I saw that not too long ago.
Are they all... from him, or are they not? Are they replicas?
It's the exact same design.
Okay. It's the same design, and it's funny. Ursinus has a ton of sculptures on campus that
Orful Tower.
Well, no. The Orful Tower.
The Washington Monument.
They're expensive, and I think, you know, the kids that are just walking past these things have no idea, like, the
impact, yes, the importance, yes. Yeah.
The Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal.
They have all
the time. Yeah. The St. Louis Urk.
Yeah. It's majestic. So was the Love Statue in Philadelphia the first, like, famous one? Because I know that it's all around the world, and there's Amor, and there's different versions of it.
It's a really good question. I don't know, Nick. To be honest, before I moved here, I didn't know that there was Love Park and the famous Love Statue.
And I don't know if it became famous because of it was in Love Park in Philadelphia, and that's why it became so iconic, or if it was just because it was the first one.
When was it introduced to the park there, Preston?
Oh, I don't know when it was introduced to the park, but it was in the 1960s.
Okay, so around the time of pop art.
He had an entire Love series, it says.
Right.
So I don't know.
I think it was in the park in 1964. Five.
Okay, so actually a little bit before, like the huge Andy Warhol explosion.
Yeah, Nick, is there anything about the origin of that very first?
No, that's what I'm looking for.
It marks sort of a career shift for him because his stuff had been more aggressive before. He had a huge statue that something similar that said "Eat a bag of D's."
Mm. Well, oh wow, he was the first one to ever coin that phrase. Bag of D's.
Exactly.
Okay.
In his later years, he was known for living an increasingly reclusive life, 15 miles off the mainland on Vinilhaven, where he moved in 1978. This is in Maine.
Vinilhaven is the name of the island?
Yeah, or Vinilhaven.
Okay.
One or the other. So Kathleen Rogers, a friend and former publicist, told the Associated Press that she was so concerned that she contacted the Maine Department of Health and Human Services to investigate 6 to 8 weeks ago.
That's a problem, you see, when you live a reclusive life on an island. Mm-hmm. If someone starts to take advantage of you, you have no recourse.
Yeah.
Dolphins, who are your friends, can go back to the mainland and tell people.
All right, Marissa got this information from visitphilly.com, the overview. It says, the City of Brotherly Love's best-known landmark is Love itself, the Robert Indiana sculpture in John F. Kennedy Plaza, northwest of City Hall. It installed in 1976. Love was briefly removed in 1978, but popular demand brought it back where it belongs. In conjunction with the renovation of the plaza, better known as Love Park, the sculpture was recently restored, repainted, and reinstalled in its original location. So this says 76, of course, which would coincide with the bicentennial, which filled up.
Would make sense. Yeah. Casey, I know on our sinus they had the Ricky statue, which was...
He was a good boxer. The original screening of, a screen print of Love as an iconic image was done in 1964 in the Museum of Modern Art, and then it ended up on a stamp, and then they made the statue, which ended up in Love Park in Philly in 76.
So it may have been the first of the statues.
Correct.
To be made. Okay.
I think the one at her sinus is bigger than that one.
It very well might be. I assume these are, when they moved it, it seemed to be fairly easy. It wasn't like they needed... You know, like the gantry that they moved the Saturn V on, it seemed to be.
Yeah, I don't know. They
it's hollow, I would assume.
They redid the whole park. Shut it all down and redid it all. So,
Casey, do you remember in that first or second season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when we shot that cigarette smoking scene in Love Park?
Yes.
They actually had to cover up the Love statue because they did not get permission from Robert
really?
Indiana. Yeah.
So, no kidding.
Yeah. So
what?
They had a giant...
Is that what, so when there are promotional shots of the city, or at least for a certain point of time, they had to get clearance with him.
Yeah. And so this was early on in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I didn't notice that because I was so intent on trying to memorize my lines.
Right, which was a high five.
Which was a high five.
Yeah, you did it really well.
By the way, and I'll give you more on him in just a moment, but we had a discussion not too long ago. There was something that was advertising the Seven Wonders, and I was talking about how the original Seven Wonders of the World, the majority of them are gone. In fact, all of them are gone. They're not really there, or some of them were kind of fabled, but like the Hanging Gardens of Babylonia.
The Colossus of Rhodes.
Exactly.
These are man-made.
But the Great Pyramids of Egypt, they were part of they still stand. Yeah, man-made. So Casey had jokingly said, we were talking about the Seven Wonders of the Delaware Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And what would they be? And you had a very good one.
Was it Lucy the Elephant?
It was Lucy the Elephant.
That's what came to my mind. Yeah. If you're talking about something that is man-made, that is a... landmark of that ilk, so that's our Colossus of Rhodes.
So would you add the Love statue to be one of the Seven Wonders of the Delaware Valley?
Yeah, if Lucy's in there, you have to add the Love statue, for sure.
So I wanted to take suggestions. Anybody who has something to add to that, 215-263-WMMR, give us a call.
I know you guys are kind of joking about this, but I recently read a list of, it wasn't the Delaware Valley, but it was 10 like must-see places in Pennsylvania and somewhere out west and stuff like that. But, I mean, just some gorgeous places that you really...
So natural wonders.
Yes, like, you know...
Like natural elephants.
Some waterfalls like that you wouldn't even know, you know, are in Pennsylvania that are in your state.
Like Bushkill Falls or...
I'm not sure.
I want that list.
There. Yeah. I can pull it up for you. I looked at it last week. It was pretty interesting.
Visiting some of your waterfalls.
I went to Ricketts Glen because they have a ton of waterfalls there. But I went there when they drained the lake. I'm like, come on.
They drained the whole goddamn lake.
Dude, there was no water in the lake.
No water.
No water.
You know what you just went to then?
It was just a mud pit.
A mud pit.
A gigantic mud pit. Yes.
Yeah, it makes the falls a lot less dramatic. Well, there's a...
Let's go skinny dipping in the mud pit.
There's a cliff.
Do we have any, like, giant balls of twine around here or anything like that? You know what I mean?
You know what? We were talking about Clyde Peeling's reptile world, but that's a business, right? Yeah, you need something that's more... Well,
and that's actually
Delaware
Lucy Valley.
Is, right? Lucy is...
Yeah, Lucy's
an attraction.
Yeah, it's an attraction.
People will go see it and drive past it. I mean, Clyde Peeling's is far, too. You know, it's up towards Williamsport, and I would not consider that the Delaware Valley.
No, I agree.
All right.
So anyhow, get in touch with us and let us know what we should add to it. So as the story goes, Robert Indiana, who was born in Indiana, settled in Maine after becoming disillusioned with the art scene in New York. But he told the Associated Press in 2009 that he moved to his house, which a benefactor bought for him when he needed a place to go after his lease ran out on his 5-story studio and gallery in the Bowery. His desire for solitude was apparently pretty legendary. He once stood up President Barack Obama at the White House. Another time, he made a crew from NBC's Today Show wait days before he would let them interview him.
Where is this jerk-off?
And in 2014, he disappointed dozens of fans by failing to make an appearance outside his home for an event dubbed International Hope Day, which was inspired by his creativity.
He reminds me of, like, J.D. Salinger then. Yeah. You know, these are guys who are... wildly creative, but They're just not.
They're not people.
They're not people. People.
Yeah. Yeah. So they don't. They don't feel comfortable.
People's is people.
Yeah. People's is people's. Hang on. We got some calls. I'm going to go to. Let's go to Leonard. Leonard. Good morning.
Yes. Hi guys. How's it going?
Good. So, Seven Wonders of the Delaware Valley. What do you think?
I was thinking the pyramid over by Lake Nockamixon up north, Upper Bucks.
Wow, the pyramid near Lake Nockamixon. I don't know the
I'm
pyramid.
Not familiar.
Me I know Lake neither. Nockamixon, but I don't know no period. Pyramid. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I went to Egyptian to see the periods.
Yeah, something like that. There's also a fake Parthenon and a few other things.
So how big is this pyramid near Pocono Lake?
Lake Nockamixon, it's about 16 feet tall, I would say.
Okay. 16 feet.
Wow. So a man on a stool.
Right. All right. Yeah.
So it's in between.
I can't climb that.
Thanks, Leonard. We're going to look it up.
In between Quakertown and Dublin in Bucks County, right. Near Nockamixon State Park, it's a pyramid that was.
So the Egyptians tested it here first.
Yeah. No.
Like listen, feet. We got to go someplace where if it's a mistake, no one will notice. Yeah. I'm saying the Poconos.
Lake Nockamixon.
Yeah. I'll meet you back in Egypt at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. Nick, does it give you a height on that or is 16 feet accurate?
I think that's accurate.
Oh, wow.
My God. Yeah. Mighty 16-foot tall behemoth.
On a cloudy day, you can't even see the top.
All right, that's one of our.
I
seven
bet you
wonders.
They have to have a blinking light on it to stop aircraft from flying
right.
into it.
Yeah.
Let me see. I will go.
Okay.
What?
It's at least made of something that it resembles stone.
It's beautiful.
We're looking at a photo of it.
Yeah, balsa wood would not be acceptable.
Let me go next to Carl. Hi, Carl. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
sorry
Carl.
To bother you at work.
It's okay.
It's all right. What's up, man?
It's in South Jersey, Millville. It's a glass house this guy built. It used to be a tourist attraction, and I think they tore it down.
Yeah,
I'm not mistaken, but Casey probably find out the name of it.
No, I can't.
The glass house of Millville,
but it's not even there anymore.
It might be. I'm not sure.
It may be because it's glass. You may just think you're looking through it, and you have no idea that it's actually there. Right? It's like Superman's house.
Yes.
The Fortress of Solitude.
All right, thanks, man.
Do you know what might be a good? Would this qualify? Would Eastern State Penitentiary? I mean, then you're talking about historical landmarks.
Then you're getting into like
something else.
Real stuff.
There's a house. It's in Bucks County, and
is it invisible?
Nope. It's made of concrete or cement. There's a difference between the two, by the way. And whoever it is was the had invented. I guess cement or concrete, or started to use it for construction, and made this entire house out of this. And it's a mansion. I took a tour of it. It's really strange.
Okay, so to parse it out here,
is it in Doylestown?
It's in Doylestown.
Yeah. Is this
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
That's pretty cool.
It's interesting. It's unique.
So, like, not that it's here, but like, would the Winchester House qualify?
This kind of reminds me of
the Winchester House.
Because there's like a spot that you go into, and it's almost like a rotunda, and there are like seven different directions that you can go in.
All right.
And it was kind of cool.
That's a big house when you have a rotunda.
I don't know the name of it.
A few people are texting in the Pagoda in Reading. You guys know that?
Like Pearson Pagoda, where you can get your ears pierced?
No. That's in the mall.
Oh. Good.
Yeah, this is different.
We have one of them, too.
This is a Chinese-looking pagoda, Chinese or Japanese, I guess. And if you're driving west on 422, it's up on the hill up above Reading, and it's a fairly iconic-looking building.
Okay.
We're not looking at that clearly, because this is still the concrete house here, Preston, or the cement.
Yeah, I wish I knew the name of that. Doylestown. Somebody look
Mercer,
it up.
Mercer Museum?
That sounds like it might be it.
And now you're...
Yeah, I've been there before.
What's inside, besides rotunda?
Hold on. There's two places. Hold on. I'm trying to. Hold on a second.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. It's filled with funky tiles and it's you just have to check
funky
it out.
Funky tiles is a great jazz musician.
Yeah.
So hold on. There's all right, and I'm not sure if there's Mercer Museum and the Font Hill Castle. I think that's
what people are saying. It's the Font Hill Castle.
Yeah. The Font Hill Castle. Yeah. All right.
Welcome to Font Hill Castle.
I put that on the list of seven wonders of the Valley.
And it, no, you know what? And inside, it's really cool. Like there's a lot of different stuff. There's different floors you can walk through. I went a few years ago, and it was the first time I'd been there. It was really nice.
Yeah. So there's a picture of the interior with all these tiles all over. You'd have to see it to understand.
Well, as you're heading into Memorial Day weekend. You know, maybe check out stuff if they're open.
How about the Junkyard Palace? Let me go to Nick.
Oh, intriguing.
Hey, Nick, good morning.
Actually, it's Ed.
Oh, hi, Ed. I'm tired of trying to understand how this happens, but go ahead, Ed.
There's actually a multitude in South Jersey. The biggest one I can think of is from my hometown of Vineland was the Palace of Depression. Now, if you Google that, it was world famous back in, like, the area of the Depression, but there's a group of people now trying to rebuild it, so they're in the process. The
only thing and what is it?
A guy basically, it was just a, you remember in Eddie and the Cruisers, he went to that junkyard?
Yeah. Yes, I do, actually. So
that was a depiction of it. It wasn't the actual palace.
So it's like a mountainous junk pile.
That he had built into this guy had built into his home, and the only thing that was left over, like in the 70s and 80s, was the original ticket booth was still there. The land was still there. The rest of it had been falling down and taken apart. But there's people now in the process of trying to rebuild it. It's a slow process because the funds are slow, but they are in the process of trying to rebuild it. So some of it is actually back.
The Palace of Depression.
As seen in Eddie and the Cruisers.
In Vineland, New Jersey.
Yeah, there's also the Milk Jug Lady of Maze Landing.
The Milk Jug Lady of Maze Landing. Okay. I love it.
I got to hear about this.
Yes.
What's that?
Okay, so and actually the funny part is this lady lived next to a strip club of all places.
Of course, yeah. Vagina City.
What she would do is take old milk jugs, old gallon milk jugs, and she would fill them with colored water, and she would do designs on her front lawn.
Oh, this is cool.
Pictures.
Yeah, I'm Googling this right now, Ed, and she did, like, the American flag, and she's done some cool stuff.
Wow. Yeah, and then the other one was the...
check out the jugs.
The electric insulator house of Galloway Township.
Wow.
You know, this guy, his whole yard is surrounded by the tops of telephone poles, and he built like a split rail fence completely around his house. And every couple of maybe every foot, there's a glass one of those old glass insulators.
And where's that one?
It's in Galloway Township.
And what's that? What's it called again?
The I think if you look a glass insulator or electric insulator house of Galloway, you should be able to find it because that's how I found it. I used to go by it all the time, and I didn't realize. And then for some reason, I was searching weird sites and weird places in New Jersey, and that's how I found it.
Yeah, there's sites that we've talked about in the past called Weird New Jersey and Weird Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And both of these that you've mentioned, Ed, are on those sites.
So even though this isn't a fixed, like Lucy, it's still kind of weirdly cool. I wonder if she thinks the insulation guy's an idiot.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's definitely staying right there.
Right, but
yeah,
she changes.
No, he's talking about the insulator guy.
Oh.
He's talking about the glass insulator house of Galloway, New Jersey.
Yeah, and she unfortunately passed away. The one you talked about, the milk jug lady, her name is Josephine.
Yeah, I know.
Josephine Stapleton. Yeah, she passed away a while back.
Interesting. All right, we're adding those to the list for sure.
Hell, I'd check that out.
Thanks, man. Let me go to, I want to go to Madison. Hey, Madison, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
So I'm calling about in Piles Grove, New Jersey, South Jersey. There's a place called Cowtown. Most people know about it. I'm not sure if you guys have
Yes!
They're sponsoring our Philly's Hottest Contest right now.
Yeah, so the cowboy at Cowtown, everybody stops to take pictures of it. And I live 10 minutes from it. I live in Piles Grove, and I just think it's the weirdest thing because I'm just used to it. I pass by it every day.
Well, do me a favor and describe it for those who haven't seen it.
It's just this huge, probably 15, 20-foot statue of a cowboy.
Wow, that's pyramid height.
Yeah, it's big. It's just a cowboy, and actually just a few years ago, somebody stole the lasso from it.
Sons of bitches.
It's a big thing. Because it was missing a lasso, so it was just standing there. With
see, this is this is what we're talking about.
We're looking we're looking at a right? photo of it, and that's at least 20 feet tall.
That's
a
cowboy Colossus of Rhodes.
That's pretty cool. I like that. That's definitely on our Seven Wonders of the Delaware Valley.
By the way,
way more than Seven Wonders.
With that lasso thing, Preston, they're looking for a huge Wonder Woman.
This reminds me of the Paul Bunyan statue that was written in the book It.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Right, or the front the cowboy on Frontier in Las Vegas. You know, the classic cowboy.
Yep.
So is New Jersey kicking ass right now in this thing?
New Jersey's doing well.
Yeah.
Between the empty water jugs, insulation, and cowboy.
So my cousin just texted me one. She said the Martin Moister Estate, she said, has all these weird slides and structures, and I just pulled it up, and that's literally what it is. And it's somehow connected to a library.
And
I
where
think.
Is that, Kath?
This is the one, Nick, this is the one in Wrightstown. It's in Bucks County.
And Kathy, it's open to the public?
I guess.
The Martin what estate?
It's
Borman.
Moister Estate.
Martin Moister Estate. All right, I'm trying to write these down.
You had me at moist.
Yeah, I can't believe Kathy even said that.
Well, this is an estate.
Not only that, moister.
Yeah, the moistest.
Wow, okay, that looks interesting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right, let me go next to, this is one I was going to go to, Stanley. Hi, Stanley, you're on the air.
It's Stoney.
All right, Stoney's getting chased by the cops right now.
Hey, Stoney,
now.
Yeah. What's up?
And they even came on and asked me how to spell my name, and okay. I told them, and they still messed it up.
All right, Stoney, what's the story?
The PSFS sign.
Oh, are you talking about that weird structure?
The bank sign on top of one. It used to be on top of one of the buildings down in Center City.
Yeah,
it
was
on
they removed it.
The PSFS building.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been one of them for me anyway. I mean, every time I used to look out over Center City when I was a kid.
Look at that goddamn thing. It's beautiful, don't you think? Kids, get out. Take a picture.
All right.
God damn it.
So
he loves that sign.
Thanks, Stoney. Appreciate it, man.
It's a sign thing that we do every time we go out.
So Chuck D'Amico texted in, and he said, Northland's model train set up in Flemington, New Jersey. So this guy's been building it for like 40 years or something crazy like that.
Yeah,
so
this here is this, case.
Yep.
What is it?
This is pretty impressive, yeah.
And is it like Roadside America, that thing we were talking about?
Yeah, it's a lot like that.
But it's indoors.
Yeah, I don't count the indoors thing, you know what I mean?
Right. It needs to be outside.
Yeah, unless it's the outdoors, the structure's made of glass like that house that no
one
sees.
You need to be able to see it from outside. Now, what was the one I was going to bring up? He had said the PSFS, and that made me think of something.
Are you talking about the structure that's on top of, by the airport?
That's it, yeah. The Dragonfly.
It's that's what they call it, right?
Well, that's the name of it. It's a sculpture. And
where
it's,
is it?
Directly across 95 from the airport. You'll see it's a PNC Bank, I think. And it's got a big, you know, it looks like a hood ornament or something like that.
You never knew what it was. It, at first, you thought maybe it's like some sort of satellite.
Is that
it was
an
like
antenna?
Yeah, it's actually a sculpture.
It's a sculpture. It's called the Dragonfly. So you might have that.
Kids, Kate, look at the car. Look at that, kids. Look at that. Oh, no. Yeah, because that was what that catches your eye. That I think that works as a wonder.
I will go to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, bud? The wonders of the Delaware Valley. What are they?
I'm in Hamilton, New Jersey.
Same thing.
We have a place called Grounds for Sculpture. Anywhere you go in Hamilton, you will basically see sculptures all over the place, statues and stuff like that. The one main thing that everyone knows about in this area is the giant tooth.
Okay.
It looks like a tooth was ripped out of a giant's mouth. It's like 20 feet tall.
That's where Tony Roberts used to live.
I'm looking at it right now. I mean, is it a tooth? Because that's what it looks like.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a huge... It is tooth.
Yeah.
That's clearly meant to be a tooth.
Really?
That's not an accidental tooth.
Yeah, all over Hamilton, New Jersey, we got crazy sculptures. If you look up Grounds for Sculpture, it's a natural place, but...
Oh, yeah.
The sculptures out, and they're all over Hamilton.
I like that.
You know what? And I dig sculpture parks.
So do I.
And I haven't been to one in a long time. And so the entire town of Hamilton is kind of like that, Joe?
Yeah, they're basically littered all over the place. Like even some spots, like there's a Walgreens that has a statue in front of it. And they're all over the place. The sidewalk by, it's called Hamilton Supply. There's a sidewalk, a guy like letting go of his daughter while she's first learning how to ride a bike. Mm. It's all these crazy little sculptures.
That was actually a girl letting go of his daughter while she was
Interesting.
What,
right.
Do we have anything, Preston? You talk about those statue parks. Do we have anything, the equivalent of Casey, and you brought it up a while ago, the dinosaur park in Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah.
Do we have anything like a, you know, sometimes there are places that build up these things. You'll find a lot of these things down towards the shore.
Yeah.
You know?
I think in Bristol they have a Stonehenge made out of meth teeth.
Right?
Yeah. You have room to talk.
What's the town? It's not Doylestown. No, not Doylestown. That has the Bears.
Boyertown.
That's Boyertown. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, the mascot for Boyertown High School is the Bears, and they there were cows up and down the main line, cow statues a few years back.
Yep.
And then Boyertown sort of took that idea and ran with it and made Bears. And
there's some of that in Germantown, too.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah, German Bears.
Let me go to Steve, who's on the line. Hi, if your name is Steve. Good morning.
If that's what I say it is.
Yeah, damn right.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good, man. So you wanted to add something to the wonders?
Yeah. There's a shoe house out in Lancaster on Route 30. It's a giant shoe house.
Is it like the old woman who lived in a shoe, or is it a house built of separate shoes?
No, it's like the old woman that lives in a shoe. And I remember when I was a kid, when we used to go visit my grandmother, that was like the point that we knew we were getting close. Whenever we saw, we're driving down Route 30.
Okay.
And you would see the giant shoe house.
I would check out a shoe house.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I think it's a hotel.
Okay. All right. I could see that. Lancaster's got some funky stuff like the caboose hotels that you can stay in a caboose.
I love that.
The Haines Shoe House, Haines. And okay. It's in Hallam, PA. And it looks like it's still there. It's right off of Route 30. Yeah,
he's. You know what? What is something he mentioned reminded me of when I was a kid. When we would drive to Lexington, Kentucky, to see my grandparents, they had a Dixie cup factory there, and so there was a water tower that the top of it was a giant Dixie cup. And when I saw that, I knew we were getting close to my grandparents.
That is cool.
That was always the landmark that we would look for.
America's smallest city is in Pennsylvania, Parker, Pennsylvania.
I actually happen to have the smallest city right in my pocket, Kathy.
800 residents sits along the Allegheny River, offers boating, canoeing, and kayaking. I know that's a little bit further.
Is that
from
a picture
us.
Of it?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, okay, so it's basically, it's just a little bit bigger than a baseball field.
Look, they have a baseball field.
Nice. Let me go to Danielle. These are the wonders of the Delaware Valley. Danielle, you're on, or is it Daniel? I'm sorry.
It's Daniel. Hey. Daniel, how's it going, guys?
Good, what's up, buddy?
Hey, so, Graffiti Pier.
Graffiti Pier.
Do tell.
Just north of the Walt Whitman Bridge along the Delaware River. It is a old pier that used to be a railroad crossing way back when, and it's just full of people just graffitiing the hell out of all of it.
Okay.
And it is one of the coolest things that you can see. You can see the city from it. You can see the bridges from it. You can fish off the end. You can climb up top if you want.
Oh, okay. I guess we're looking at it.
Wow, it looks pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
To me. We're looking at a picture.
All right,
probably smells like piss.
Chuck stuff off a bridge.
Yeah. Cage, get out. Look at that. Look at that over there.
Thanks,
oh,
Daniel.
Oh, no. He found another one.
It reminds me a lot, and I thought about this, the skate park underneath 95 at
FDR.
FDR Park.
It is pretty cool. Remember, we did a photo shoot down there. You remember?
Yeah, we were going to do our press shots down there.
And, didn't work out.
No, it didn't quite work out.
Well. We don't really look like skateboarders.
But I might put that on the list.
What about then?
Nothing man-made. I mean, nothing natural, like a Boulder Field.
No, yeah, Ringing Rocks and stuff like that, mm-hmm. or Hawk Mountain. I mean, there are some things like
purple
that.
Purple Orchid.
The Purple Orchid, the Hairy Donut.
You guys ever see the Statue of Liberty in the Susquehanna River? It's out by Harrisburg. It's north of Harrisburg. If you're heading on 322, Penn State kids know it because if you're going to Penn State from here.
It's a mini Statue of Liberty?
It's a mini Statue of Liberty, and it's on an old railroad bridge that I think it's an old railroad bridge. Anyway, it's in the middle of the river, and it's a Statue of Liberty, and it's just been there forever.
Okay. Let me go to one more call because we got to take a break. I'm going to go to Jake. Hi, Jake. Good morning.
Am I on?
You're on.
Wow. First time caller.
Ah. Nice. All right, Jake, what did you want to add to our list here?
Yeah, I wanted to get Delaware on the list. In Churchman's Crossing in Delaware down on Route 4, there's a doctor's office with a giant doctor's bag. I'm not sure if it's still there. I think it is, but it's like 15 feet tall, 20 feet wide, a big, like, old-timey doctor's bag with a stethoscope hanging out of it.
All right.
And the awning outside is a specula.
I mean, I'd rather. I mean, if we were going to go to Delaware, I would do that little monster at the Monster Mile that has the NASCAR in his hand.
That's holding the cars in his hand. Yes.
Oh, yes.
I would put that on the list.
No, that is very cool, and that's exactly what we're talking about, Case.
Yep. Okay.
This is actually cool, Preston.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
You know, you do something like that. There used to be a time, and maybe it still exists, where you go the extra mile and do something like that, sort of kitschy out in front of your business, so people know about that. I mean, this is. Yeah. Incredibly great advertisement, word of mouth.
Yeah. All right, so I have a few here. I'll rattle them off, and then we got to take a break. The milk jug lady, may she rest in peace. She's not with us anymore. Knock-a-mixin' pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
The glass house we never found in Galloway, New Jersey. No, wait, I'm sorry. The glass insulator house with the electrical insulator.
Yeah.
In Galloway, New Jersey, the Cowboy of Cowtown,
and we know this well. They're sponsoring the Philly's Hottest contest.
That's right, Philly's Hottest Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boots, and they've got a big prize up for that. So the Martin Moister Estate with the slides and so forth, the 20-foot-tall tooth in Hamilton, New Jersey. We led with Lucy the Elephant. The Shoe House in Lancaster, Graffiti Pier, the Giant Doctor Bag, and then the Monster Mile Monster. Those are good ones.
They are. We need
I like
to,
that.
Should we do a tour?
We need to get it down to 7. How many was that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I said we were going to do more than 7.
So let's do 7 and do a second. Coming soon, a new set of 7.
Yes, maybe so.
Yeah.
By the way, and we got this started because the creator of the Love Statue passed away, Robert Indiana, and Marissa wanted me to mention this. They have their inaugural fundraising event, which is coming up on Wednesday the 30th. The proceeds from the event are going to support the park maintenance and free programming throughout the year. And so they're doing DJ Jazzy Jeff is going to be actually Wednesday. From 6 to 8 p.m., Wednesday, May 30th, from 6 to 8 p.m., and they have raffle prizes and open bar food trucks and restaurants and all that stuff. I don't know where you get tickets or anything like that from it.
What's at the big medical bag.
Hang on a second. Yeah, you get the tickets at the big medical bag, but get in line now.
I think you can go to myphillypark.org, which is a big website.
Oh, there
for
it is.
Yeah, everything for Fairmount Park and all the parks around the country, around the area, rather.
Cool,
but,
man.
Yeah, it's a big party because the park is just opening up.
Nice. All right, thanks for your calls. We appreciate it. We got to take a break. We'll come back in just a second, and we are going to get into the Bizarre File when we return, so stay with us.
All this year, 93.3 WMMR celebrates 50 years of rocking Philadelphia, and we're celebrating with the best of everything that rocks, including something brand new, tapping the keg for our first ever beer festival, WMMR's Birthday Beer Bash. Cheers to 50 years. Saturday, June 23rd, outdoors at Sugar House Casino. Throughout the afternoon, enjoy unlimited samples of over 100 beers, plus live music, food trucks, tailgate games, and lots more. Tickets on sale now. Get to WMMR.com for tickets and more info. VIP and early bird discount available while supplies last. WMMR's Birthday Beer Bash. Cheers to 50 years. From 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Sausages.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I would like to mention two things. Coolest Teacher High School today, Malvern Prep in Malvern, PA. Do me a favor and tell us who the coolest teacher has been this year. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. And then made a quick mention of Philly's Hottest. We're looking for Philly's Hottest Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boots or shorts and boots. As
yes.
We're putting it.
Or even welding costumes.
No, we need contestants, and we got to get you to send them in. You can go to WMMR.com for the details, and you just might win. If the gang votes and they choose you, you get $1,000 cash from Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters in Cowtown Rodeo.
That's a chunk of change.
And that's where the giant cowboy is.
Yeah.
Over $1,000 in jewelry and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers and a professional photo shoot by Allison Dunlap Photography. So if you know a budding model that should be in this, then you should urge them to take those pictures and send. You have to be at least 18 years or older to enter.
And lest we remind you how many times people have been culled from these contests end up in the calendar.
Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters. You can go to cowtowncowboy.com for all your Western wear needs and Cowtown Rodeo. The best show on dirt. Visit cowtownrodeo.com. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Rita's Water Ice. New mocktail Italian ice is at Rita's. Margarita, Pina Colada, Mojito, and Tropical Daiquiri. Try them as a promo-sized frozen drink, $1.99 for a limited time, or take them home in quarts of ice and make your own mocktail. I found the story yesterday about the mountain lions.
Oh, there we go.
It was in the stack of stuff I had. It just was buried and
son of a bitch.
Located it later in the day out of Washington State. A man is dead and another was taken to the hospital on Saturday afternoon after a highly unusual fatal mountain lion attack near North Bend east of Seattle.
You usually don't hear grown men being attacked. You know, first, they're rare to begin with, but the grown men would be taken down.
The 31-year-old man taken to the hospital is currently awake, alert, and was upgraded from serious to satisfactory condition. The mountain lion was tracked and killed. The sheriff's office said that the two men were mountain biking Saturday morning down a remote road when they came in contact with the mountain lion. The mountain lion mauled one of the men and then turned to the second man and started mauling him. And that was when the first victim got up and managed to ride nearly 2 miles on his bike to get cell reception to call 911. At about 11 a.m. and he was taken to the hospital. Law enforcement rushed into the area. They found the cougar standing over the other man's body. So that's not good.
Apparently it chased him into the woods, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of the stories I heard. So the guy got off his bike and ran into the woods.
Officials say they shot at it and it ran away. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife found and killed the mountain lion that is believed to be responsible.
So people say, how does it, you know, it's 100 pounds, but it's 100 pounds of... You know, muscle. These are what these things, the claws and everything.
Yeah,
they go into attack mode. It's formidable.
Yeah, they're fierce. A woman who was released by officers then later bragged on their Facebook page about getting away is back behind bars. Kayla Irizarry was arrested about 2:30 a.m. on Saturday. Police said the 19-year-old was a passenger in a car that officers pulled over last week. The driver, Giovanni Powell, was arrested for driving while suspended, but officers had no legal reason to detain Irizarry, so she was able to leave the scene. Now, after a search of the vehicle, detectives found a purse containing Irizarry's ID, a small pistol, heroin, as well as her paperwork from the last time she was released from jail. Irizarry is a convicted felon and ineligible to possess a firearm. According to police, she then got on the phone, the police department's Facebook page, and bragged about getting away. A department head said, "We believe that is the number one killer of a criminal karma that there is." After setting up a meeting with Irizarry using social media, officers were able to arrest her Saturday. After a brief foot chase, she was booked into the county jail on charges of unlawful possession of a firearm and possession of heroin. And both charges were from the original incident. Firefighters have to prepare themselves for some pretty hairy situations. But over in Germany, they're doing exactly that. It is all down to the love of butt plugs and penis rings in the country.
Germany, right? Yeah.
Which has left firefighters in high demand because every so often the sex toys get a little too attached to their owners and require urgent removal.
So they're calling the fire department to remove butt plugs?
Sure. Yeah. And also penis rings and things like that.
All right.
So getting rid of a stuck penis ring or a butt plug is no easy task. It requires delicate care and attention, but they don't have training for it. Well, now... They are being trained properly before they can tackle such an emergency.
Don't forget, Tuesday's a butt plug class.
At a seminar for 600 firefighters in Dresden, East Germany.
Yeah, Horst, when did we learn how to put out fires?
They learned exactly that. Images from the course show trainees around a dummy with a lifelike dildo emerging through a heat shield blanket. On this occasion, a penis ring was trapped on the manhood. The seminar titled... Maschien in Falle, or mechanical failures.
Sounds I know, beautiful.
I'm sure I mispronounced that. Showed them how to remove the ring without harming the unfortunate man. But butt plug and ring removals are in high demand in Germany. First, the penis is bandaged to prevent injuries from flying sparks, and then a paste...
From sparks!
...able to absorb up to 4,000 degrees Celsius is spread on the ring to prevent burns. A spatula is then inserted between the member and the ring...
Jesus
...before
Christ.
It can be cut off with a grinder.
You're going to die.
The delicate procedure should take less than 15 minutes, experts say. So they're actually training them to do that now.
Is it conceivable that they could just drive them to a medical facility?
Well, I think the medical facility would ask the fire department.
To do it?
Because they have the equipment to cut stuff like that off.
It's a crazy world.
Yeah. Irked by a delay in the takeoff of a Mumbai-bound flight, a 37-year-old man allegedly under the influence of alcohol inflicted self-injury using a pen after a verbal spat with airline officials. The passenger was taken to a hospital within the airport premises for treatment. and the flight later departed without him. The passenger was scheduled to board the flight, and it got delayed for about 3 hours or so. He questioned the airline officials, and it led to a verbal duel. The man told officials that he ran the risk of missing his connecting flight at Mumbai, and in a seeming fit of rage, he took out a pen and stabbed himself in the stomach with it.
This will show you.
Yeah. I mean business.
Yeah. I'll take out both my eyes.
Yeah.
So now who's laughing?
They arrested him. Let's see. Sometimes police get really strange calls. Such was the case for officers in North Ridgeville, Ohio, who received a call from a man who said while walking home from a train station, a pig started following him, and he didn't know what to do.
So what would you rather have, a mountain lion or a pig following you?
I'll go with the pig.
Yeah.
Thinking he had just left a bar named the train station.
Where are you going, sweetie?
Police went out to pick up the caller, who they believed was drunk. But when officers arrived, they found the man stone cold sober, and he was complete with his four-legged stalker in tow. The man told him that he was walking home from an Amtrak station when the animal decided to go for a walk with him. In the end, the pig was very cooperative and was taken to the station.
Oink, oink.
And police made the animal feel at home for a bit.
Oink, oink.
Inside the department's dog kennels until the owner was notified.
Oink, 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 oink.
And it was picked up.
It's sort of a demonic-looking pig.
It is.
Yeah. So do you think it just, like, he likes you.
Yeah, maybe. And authorities didn't say if the owner was cited for having a pig loose or anything like that. So, but they managed to save this guy from his stalking pig.
Well, for me, the winner is the fire department showing up to remove your penis ring.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got a number of really good ones that we're going to get to eventually. We do have to take a break. Yes, Nick.
Just going back to that cougar story, some listeners texted in that apparently, and nobody has really confirmed whether or not this is legit or not, there was a cougar or a mountain lion spotted outside of Reading, Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah, there's some photos that were surfacing and making the rounds on social media in that area over the weekend. I can't tell. It sort of looks like a mountain lion, but
who's going to the shore this weekend? No.
Not that kind of cougar.
Different kind of cougar.
So they used to be apparently a pretty healthy population, yeah, right?
Nittany lions.
Nittany lions, yeah.
Interesting. All right. Listen, we got to take a break, and as we do, I want to give away some tickets to see this movie screening, Action Point. We have it coming up May 31st at 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. Need to be there by 6:30. In theaters everywhere on June 1st. Now, if you're at Keenan's on Friday, you might win a trip for two to the premiere of Action Point on the 31st at the Archlight Hollywood in Hollywood, California. And that trip does include airfare, two nights at a Santa Monica area hotel, admission to the premiere, $175 Visa gift card for meals and sightseeing, a two-hour beach bar cycle tour for two and more. You'll have to be at least 21 years of age. And, of course, you'll be in Keenan, so you will be at least 21 years of age. We'll take five callers, put you on the list to join us for that screening, and we'll give away that trip on Friday while we are in North Wildwood. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It was a pretty funny video that was posted. We saw it yesterday. Didn't get a chance to get to it. But Joel Embiid of the Sixers was down in Paradise Island, Bahamas, which is, what's the name of that?
Atlantis, yeah.
And they have a really big water slide. It comes out of a pyramid.
It's in the commercials. You see it all the time. Kids doing it all the time.
So apparently he's at the top of this slide and was prepared, ready to go down and ride it, and then he chickened out. Mm. And he wouldn't do it, and the word is it took him 40 minutes.
That's a long time.
To get the courage up to actually go down the slide. He sat there, and they're going, you can hear, and we have the audio.
Yeah.
People tell him, come on, go.
Go, go! Go, Joe, go! 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 Go, you can do it! You can do it! Go! 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 Leap of faith. You can do it. Oh, you can't check it out.
40 minutes of that.
And yet he's going to the kiddie part of the...
well, yeah, that he doesn't have a problem
no
with.
Yeah, no problem with.
Yeah.
But even the one that he was on, so how... It's not that bad.
It's pretty steep.
It's steep. When you get up, it doesn't look like much, but some of these slides, when you get up at the top and you see it, it's like, oh my God. Casey, it's like the 10-meter platform.
Yes.
When you're like looking, you go, oh yeah,
I know that. Time.
And then you get at the top of it and you stand there and you go, oh my God.
I had been diving for years before I ever got on a 10-meter platform. I'd been on a 5-meter and stuff like that. But when I got up there, because I had all these pie in the sky dreams. Oh, I get up there, I'm going to do this and do that. And then I got up there.
I can jump off the high dive.
I got up there, I'm like, yeah. I'm just going to jump the first time. I just want to see what that's all about.
Yeah.
And then, and I did, and it hurt. I mean, it, sure. The slap of your feet, but...
But this guy already peels off, like, 9 or 10 feet of the trip. So that...
This music...
God damn it.
Did you hear that?
God damn it.
What happened?
Yeah, it was on the...
If you leave our system on... automatic, it will, at the end of an element, it will trigger another one. So
I would like to make
a
recommendation to our podcasters. Right now, if you're podcasting the show, pause, go back about 10 seconds, turn up the volume, and listen to hear Casey say, God damn it, because that was enjoyable.
All right, so in Wildwood, they have a really, really steep slide like this. And it's what's crazy is when you start sliding, it's kind of, just level for a little while. And then there's a major drop-off.
Yeah.
And you're kind of afraid that if you're going too fast before the drop-off, you're just going to fly off the slide.
Right, right.
Which is not the case. That's not going to happen.
But, I mean, listen, some people just freak on some of these rides. It's just funny to see someone of his stature... freaking out on this, and if the truth is, he was there from 30 to 40 minutes.
No, he wasn't there for 30 to 40 minutes. It took that long from the time he sat down to him actually finishing. He got up.
All right.
Other people went. He wasn't sitting there for 40 straight minutes.
You got to get this dude to move.
Yep. Well, you know, we had a high dive at my pool growing up, and sometimes kids would get up there, and they would freak for a little while. And would not go down, would not jump, and then would climb down, which is actually, I think, more dangerous climbing down on those ladders than it is just jumping off of the 3-meter dive.
Mm-hmm. My son, we were in Missouri, the Ozark Lake Ozark in Missouri, and there are cliffs all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go, and there's some of them have a little path that you can take to go to the top. And you can jump off, and we were at one, and there was. Several different spots. One you could jump off, it was like 10 feet up. Another was like 20 and so on and so forth. There's one that was easily, it had to have been 50 feet up there. It was just huge.
Yep.
They climbed all the way to the top of that thing. Dude, we sat there for like 30 minutes. And after a while, we're like, just do it. Jump. Come on. One, two, three, go.
You can't hesitate. That's the thing.
I know.
When you get up there, you either go or don't go. You know, don't do that whole hesitation
thing.
There
is no try.
Well, because if you hesitate and if you're scared and at the last second you try and bail, that's when you end up getting hurt. You know, it's like
forgetting Sarah Marshall. He's about to jump off the side and he decides not to and he grabs onto the vegetation on the side of that cliff.
Well, you know, like I did the cliff diving, which is a standard thing to do in, cliff jumping, not cliff diving like they do in Acapulco, but the... you know, you jump off the side. It's a classic thing to do. It's probably about 40 feet.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing to do is just not even think, just beeline. And that's what I did. But the person before me jumped off. And the one thing you cannot do, we've talked about this before, they, like, extended their arms out.
Mm-mm.
You got to go in like a bullet.
Yep.
And Jesus Christ, the bruises on this guy's arms.
Smack.
It's my dream to do.
Get bruises?
Well, no. To go cliff diving. I did something similar in...
To go cliff diving?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
I believe he could do it.
Into something that is crystal clear. Now, when I was in the Grand Canyon last year, I did... It was a cliff jump, but it was into murky, muddy water. Lauren Harris was just in, I think, Jamaica.
Yeah.
And she showed some video of people doing cliff jumping and diving, actually. That I was like, oh, my God, sign me up.
Really?
Sign me up now.
No effing way.
Yeah. Case, my dad did it for years.
Cliff diving?
Cliff diving. Oh, yeah. He would go all over the place, and some were great, beautiful, clear waters, and some were not, and he'd have to swim down to make sure that it was safe and all that.
Yeah.
No. But I did the cliff jumping, actually, at Action Park. I think it was about 25, 30 feet.
That was probably deadlier than whatever.
That was the safest thing, because all it was a pool. So, we spent hours
full of
there.
Ebola.
It was where you wouldn't... No. It was where you wouldn't get hurt there, basically. The slides is where you would get hurt.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Action Park, there was one... They had a loop there, right?
They had a couple of things. There was one that was it was pitch black, the tunnel. And it was so terrifying when you were in there. There was not one ounce of light coming into that
like you
slide.
Couldn't see your
and
hand
it was
in front
a
of your
water
face.
Slide.
Yeah, that's
so the
crazy.
Water spraying in your face, it's pitch black, and then
you're disoriented.
You're totally disoriented, and then it would shoot you out in like probably about 10, 15 feet above the water, and
I've
then you drop
where people
down.
People came out of that.
And that filthy water.
The lifeguard had to go in and save my aunt. She was so out of sorts when she hit that water that she was basically drowning.
I remember even in the commercial, the water looked horrible, like a semen and piss bouillabaisse.
And you know what? The water was always freezing.
Somebody, a few people have texted in this place at Disney. It's called Summit Plummet. At Disney's Blizzard Beach is supposed to be pretty crazy, pretty high up.
I think that's
I've seen
that's
it.
A slide, right?
Yeah. It's a part of the water park. I've driven by it.
How high do you come out at when you come out of the slide?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But some of them are up there, man.
Have you ever seen the footage of the guy who's, he's not cliff diving, but America's Funniest Home Videos at it, where he jumps and lands just about a foot and a half back from the water in the dirt.
I love that stuff.
Perfect.
Oh, this Summit Plummet thing.
Is
this
it?
Yeah,
we're looking at video of it. Did you see that?
Oh. Summit Plummet.
Sign dude. That's, you do it in a heartbeat?
In a heartbeat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
My response
scary.
Is, F it, suck it.
I might be hesitant.
Too scared?
Oh, look at that, man.
I might be hesitant.
That guy's a little scared.
That's
similar to what they have in Wildwood at Maury's Pier.
That high?
Yeah, well, I got to see from... All right, from a sideways glance.
Because you're both right when you said as you're looking out over it, okay, but then the second you're at the zenith, you're straight down.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. I'd be a little freaked out by this. We're watching, you know, a firsthand video of it.
How do your balls not detonate after your
I don't know.
Well, you gotta cross your legs, definitely.
Well, you remember the one out in Kansas, the Schlitterbahn, where the kid died.
Yeah.
I think he got decapitated.
Well, they also, on that one, I think you were on a raft of some sort.
Yeah.
And then they had some netting over it that his face got caught on. Yep.
And you remember the netting was actually added as an afterthought because they were running down test dummies that were launching out of the friggin' thing.
Yeah, so here's a footage, Press. I'll just show you of my son doing the one in Wildwood. I mean, you're pretty high up.
I'm looking at video of it. So you go out flat first, a little ride flat, and then there's going to be a drop-off. And it was kind of hard to see by the way he positioned the camera. But, yeah, that looks pretty badass,
I mean,
man.
It is straight down. Now, I've done the loop.
Is this it, Case, right here?
No.
That's Schlitterbahn, Steve.
That's Schlitterbahn.
Because, no.
That's the killer.
At Jay Peak in Vermont, they have an indoor water park, and they had a loop-to-loop one.
Yeah.
And that's one where you stand in a tube. And then the floor just drops out underneath you.
I think I'd like to try that.
It is cool. But you can't. You have to be in like a sweet spot of weight. And I was right at the top edge of that.
Right at the top.
Because you can either be too heavy to make it around or too light to make it around.
Okay.
You're a good deuce 50.
Deuce 50. You're the close.
But that's sometimes when they say, you know, because they have to have a safety margin.
Yeah.
But who wants to screw with the acceptable parameters?
Well, my daughter got stuck in the middle of the loop.
See?
Yeah, so she was too light.
There's one that I've seen, and now we start to get into the Discovery Channel does it, because I know you and I are big fans of watching these shows about the parks.
Yep.
There's one, I think it's a water park, that puts you out, a water slide, I should say, that puts you out into, you know, the marble where it rolls around in the thing and goes down a tube in the center.
Sure.
You're that. You're the marble.
Oh, there's several of them that are like that. You can get that. They have it at Great Wolf Lodge.
Do they?
Yeah, it's
fun.
Yep. We call it the toilet bowl because it looks like that.
So the Summit Plummet in Disney is 120 feet tall. It's the third tallest in the world.
Wow.
And it's the fastest fall slide in the world. And it's all a part of, and I'm not making this up, Mount Gushmore.
Mount Gushmore.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a great porn.
Somebody was texting in that they actually give you they clock you as you go down. They give you your miles per hour.
Yeah.
Somebody was at 58 miles an hour.
Speeds upwards of 60 miles an hour as you're going down.
Dude, that's hauling ass.
Yeah.
How far can they push them? I mean, are we going to see a time when there's, like, you know, a 1,000-foot drop? I mean,
I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, if this is the third highest in the world, it sounds like they're already pushing it. You know, the tallest one's in Brazil.
Okay. I wonder where the Atlantis one ranks that Joel couldn't...
It didn't look that big.
It did not look that bad.
It took a while to eventually go down.
I think the difference with that one, too, Preston, is it appears that you go in it and there's a tunnel in the water that you go down. which is a little...
And the aren't the sharks surrounding it?
You might go through the aquarium.
Yeah, I think it is.
But that's only 60 feet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's half the size of the one at Disney.
So you take
the one at Disney, you go through a tube as well.
Really?
Yep. No, thank you.
Yeah, you know, I used to love these water slides. And it's like even like when we would go to Action Park once a summer and we loved it. But now... I still love it.
They kind of beat me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
I love them. I still love them. It's been a while since I've been on one. You know, they say eventually you just start, it rattles the F out. The wooden coasters and everything will beat you up. But I think, like, if you head over to your favorite coasters, you'd still love it.
Oh, no, I mean, I do. I don't mind riding roller coasters, but water slides are a little different. You get banged around a little bit. I've ridden several in the past few
years.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah, we would go to Great Wolf Lodge all the time and all those water parks.
We do the season pass for the water slides in Wildwood because there's two different water parks on each pier. Or one on each pier, I should say. So, and you can go, like, I'll go at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning. You go, get a couple of hours in, and then you still have the rest of the day to, you know, do the beach or whatever. I love it. The only thing I don't like are the steps.
The steps.
There's a lot of steps.
I can't go up those steps. Come on, sir. Sorry. Come on.
I snort, dude.
Come on, sir.
I couldn't help it, man. Just the steps, man.
Come on. You're blocking the kids. Come on.
Blocking up steps.
Yeah. Come on, pussy.
All right.
It's a lot of steps, dude.
It's got to be like 15 steps.
You're right. You know what? They should change it to ropes.
Ropes. You have to climb. I was thinking escalators.
Yeah.
Or an elevator.
Man, speaking of that, I had an elevator invention last night. That was as I was watching Star Wars.
It's very hip hop. Yo, man.
Yeah, yo.
Got an elevator invention.
You know how it like sucks waiting for an elevator car to come? Because you know, there's only one car and it comes up and down, up and down. What if you had like an elevator Ferris wheel?
As elevators do.
Yes. What if you had an elevator Ferris wheel, right? So that there were several cars and you didn't have to wait all the time.
What about multiple banks of elevators?
Well, so that's the thing, Steve. We have multiple banks here.
Yeah.
But they don't, there's no home base there. So every now and again. You're waiting on the fourth floor because all the elevators are stuck at the first floor or whatever it is.
So let's say you're going up to the sixth floor.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gets into the elevator, they have to go on the third and fourth floor.
It's going
to
be stopping.
They're still in your car. Yeah,
it's going to be stopping at every floor.
So your 3-minute elevator ride now becomes an hour and a half.
This is a great dialogue that we're having.
Yeah,
here,
right. Exactly.
Listen,
right.
So certain things that I didn't think about.
Right.
We can work with this.
Case, what you need is what's called a man lift, and I've been on a man lift before. You know what that is?
No.
Okay. It's a constant. It's like it's almost like a vertical conveyor belt that has a handle and a foot placement on it.
We've talked about this,
and
would love this.
They're very dangerous. You got to be careful, but you just step out on it. It's moving all the time, and you grab on with one hand and you put your foot on the foothold and it takes you up and then you just step off where you want to go and it never stops.
We had a discussion on this very show and people were calling in with locations.
Yeah, where are
they? Usually
in
factories where you could drive. Yep. But that's basically, that is the answer to your problem because it's constantly running and you just step. It's basically the building version of a ski lift.
Yeah. So when I lived in an apartment in the city in St. Louis, there was a parking garage that was part of my lease deal. And so it was valet, and the valets would use that rather than running up and down the levels. They would just grab onto the man lift and hold on and go up.
They wouldn't use the helicoaster?
And they.
I would say like Ellis wheel or something.
Ellis wheel. and they let me go up on that thing one time.
But you're right. You got to fit in the tube.
And it's a mechanism.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
not going to stop.
No, it's ready for, it's rife for industrial accident if you're not careful with it. But that's case. That's what you need is a man.
The problem is also, though, you're not, if you have groceries or something.
Yeah.
Or a hand truck.
You have nothing with you.
Nothing's going to happen.
But the Ferris wheel.
Or Ellicoaster.
Ellicoaster. Ellis wheel.
Elliflume.
Yeah.
I like this man lift thing. I want one of those.
What about one that's like a little beetle that bounces up and down, or an Ella teacup,
or an Esca slide?
Esca slide.
Okay, so it's you're dry going up, but then you slide down on a water slide on the way back down.
Well, why does that have to be a water slide?
I don't know. It just goes along well.
Come on, man.
Or it doesn't have.
But I'm in my suit. Now my suit's crazy. All wet.
All right. You're right.
How about you get onto the elevator and the escalator slides forward into a large elevator.
Okay.
You slide into the elevator.
Right.
And then it takes you where you need to be. Case, God, I would love to be there when your brain cranks this stuff out.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, ding. Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah.
Well, because at one point...
Keep it to myself. This is $1 million idea.
I don't want
to
give anything away in the movie, but Han gets onto an elevator, like, right after somebody else got onto an elevator. I'm like, well, he got on that quick, you know?
It's Well, it's a time long, long ago, right?
In a galaxy far, far away, you're correct about that.
That was the plot point that tripped you up.
You know what I'm talking about. But now you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, wow, no, I'm serious.
He didn't even have to hit the button. What? He just walked right into it, and it was just waiting there for him. I'm like, was that on a Ferris wheel sort of thing?
What is this device? What is this?
Yeah, man.
This thing just goes right up.
They're flying in TIE fighters, firing laser beams at each other in their man-made planets. But they can't figure out how an elevator operates.
I'm telling you, dude gets onto an elevator.
What the hell is this?
He walks away.
Listen, I can't make it up to you to fire the death ray and blow up that entire planet because there's a box here with buttons on it where people are disappearing. My robot army behind me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but this box is making people disappear hand over fist.
It's the one thing that, technologically they couldn't figure out was the elevator.
How do you operate this goddamn thing?
Well, I guess maybe it would have, like, kind of ruined the moment.
What are these numbers?
Like, I got to go get that guy. Bing! And then he sits there. Just 1 second. You know, he's just...
Sure.
Looks at his little watch.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously, I'm going to go get
whistle.
That guy.
Yeah. That's how you make it operate. Yes. You whistle the amount of floor...
Third floor, please. Yeah.
Casey, you ever seen Blues Brothers?
Not all the way through.
Okay, so there's a funny elevator scene that sort of plays with that towards the end. And I know this movie came out 40 years ago, but spoiler alert, they do that. They wait in the elevator.
Oh, yeah,
It takes forever to get to the top of the building because elevators actually do take a while sometimes.
Yes.
There's a game that you, if you are an elevator fan, there's a game called Mass Effect. And
yeah.
In that game, you take actual real-time elevator rides while they're...
Really?
Because they're setting up the next scene that you're playing.
Oh.
It's the most effing boring thing in the world. You just come out of this intergalactic fight, and it's, you know, Girl from Ipanema playing while... Din,
din, din. Which is what's playing in the Blues Brothers scene.
Yep.
I will go to Jim next. Hey, Jim, good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
I wanted to let you know that Casey's invention actually exists.
Okay.
Really? Ferris Vader?
The Ferris...
Vader.
The Ferris Vader.
I was stationed in Germany in the 1980s, and in the old German buildings, they have elevators that have no doors on them, and they continuously... operate, and you hop on one floor, and it takes you to the next floor, and you have to hop off before you...
That sounds like a man lift.
That's more what Preston was talking about than Casey's Ferris wheel inside the building.
But it's a full car that you get into, right?
It's a series of cars. They never stop coming. It's just one car after another going up and then also going down.
Yeah.
So you can hop on either side. And if you ever watch the Netflix series Babylon Berlin, which is set in the 1930s Germany, they actually have a scene where they show that elevator.
See, okay. Now, here, and to Preston's point, dangerous. Though, this would be a dangerous thing unless it had a special thing where, any sort of resistance to it would stop it.
Yeah.
Or it just crush your head.
Mm, yeah, it could happen. Interesting. Okay. So we had a lengthy discussion about elevators. I didn't know we were going to go there. We have to take a break because we do have a couple of guests. Oh, and we have a guest that we didn't know that we were going to have this coming by this morning.
Is it Jim Brewer as Lars?
No, it's not Jim Brewer as Lars.
It's going to be funny.
It's actually... it's going to be Nick Willenda. The Flying Melendez and
Daredevil.
He's been here before, and he was here right before he walked across the Niagara Falls. Remember, he did that a few years ago.
Yes.
So we did not know he was coming in this morning. He was booked, and so I wanted to make sure that you're aware that we're going to talk to him a little bit.
Very cool.
As our buddy Mark Summers is going to be on the show, too. And Mark has apparently some kind of a big announcement. We don't know exactly what it is.
He's doing an act with Nick Willenda.
Well, wouldn't that be timely? All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment, so make sure you stay with us. We will return in just a second. See ya.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, hand-picking diamonds, to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So our next guest is giving us a call and apparently has some news to share with us.
Breaking
news, I've heard. That was the phrase of
breaking,
Marissa.
Breaking, exactly.
That Marissa used when she...
And we've been trying to figure out what the hell it is.
I don't know. We have our theories, but let's get it straight from our good friend, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Summers is on the phone line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great, man. So we're all excited. We've been kicking around ideas of what it is. You have some kind of an announcement you want to share with us.
Well, you know, you and I, all of us from the team have been having this conversation maybe for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought back a show on Nickelodeon called Clarissa. They're bringing that back, and they're bringing back Blue's Clues. And I just sent an email to the president of the network that said, am I getting the next phone call? That's all I sent.
Right.
And 2 weeks later, the phone call came. And Double Dare is officially coming back.
Wow! Yes! I thought, no way. And then everyone snapped out of it. It's coming back. When is it coming back? Give us all the deets.
We start shooting in a few weeks in Los Angeles. We premiere June 25th at 8 o'clock on Nick at Night. We're going to be prime time Monday through Friday all summer.
Oh, so cool.
Mark, as per our earlier discussions, will this be kid-based or will it be the adults who grew up on it?
It's going to be a combination of various things. You know, this happened rather quickly, and so we're trying to put all the pieces together as fast as we can. Obstacles are being built, new and improved versions. We've been testing physical challenges. Writers are furiously writing questions.
Wow.
And I'm exec producer, and I'm on camera, but the new host, there is a new host of the show, and her name is Liza Koshy. And if you Google her, you'll find out she has probably more views than any human on the web. And
Liza Koshy, you said.
Yeah. Mm. So we'll be on camera together playing Double Dare and, you know, new and improved. And, you know, as soon as I know more, I'll let you know because it's happening at warp speed.
Wow.
But I wanted to give you guys, this is the first interview I'm doing.
Wow.
And I wanted to give you guys
You know what?
Did they kill him? Did they take him out because he spoke too quickly?
I don't know, but I just pulled up Liza Koshy. I know exactly who she is.
She's an internet sensation.
My daughter has seen many of her videos. Yep, I know exactly who she is.
Awesome.
Guys, you still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Can you hear us? Okay.
You're just speaking.
Yeah, we got you.
Got a huge following, needless to say, and I'm sure your audience knows pretty much who she is, and if not, they'll learn rather quickly.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, I want to ask, and I'm not asking if we can be on the show, but can we come out and compete against each other and shoot just for
We're doing a press day. I believe it's June 6th in Los Angeles on the set. So, yeah, you guys should come out.
Fortunately, we have nothing going on with the 20th anniversary of the show and the 50th anniversary of the station.
Hey, and June 6th, it's just a Wednesday, so we can just shoot over there right after the show.
No, but it's at some point, are there any plans? Obviously, you're L.A.-based with this, to take it out on the road and visit different areas around the country.
I'm actually in conversations with that right
Ha-ha!
Now.
I could produce this show. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's all good. It's pretty damn exciting, quite honestly, to get back and, you know, throw on the sneakers and let's do it one more time, you know?
That is so cool. You know, you have to get on the show. You have to get Adam Goldberg.
I know. I thought about that. Yeah, we're looking for families. And by the way, if there are families listening to you right now who have kids, you know, when they were young, were on the show and want to do a grudge match because they lost and want to come back and see if they can beat them as adults, you know, if they can contact you guys and get back in touch with us, because we're looking for those families and those people as well.
There's all sorts of dynamics you can have from past past contestants. In fact, on the Goldbergs episode, there were actors in the show who had actually competed on the show as kids. So, I mean, you have just multiple stories to tell. This is so cool.
So, yeah, we did a lot of promos yesterday and pictures, and I'm heading off now to do a bunch of press stuff, and you'll be hearing lots about it like crazy. So, I love the support you guys have given, hanging in there with us throughout the years, and we kept pushing, and we finally made it happen. So,
Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt. Is there a ballpark as to the date when this is going to appear on Nickelodeon?
June 25th.
It is June 25th.
Is when we launch.
Yeah. Sweet All mother right. of God.
Wow.
That is such cool news.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts. So very excited, in New York for the last 2 days, head back to LA tomorrow, and it's all happening. So, yeah, we'll figure out a time. If you guys can't do it in June, first part of June, get back to me with a date. It can happen.
All right. Absolutely. We'll
do it. Excellent. Really happy.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks. We'll talk soon. Take care.
You got it. Mark Summers right there. Double Dare coming back.
I didn't think.
That's
Nick
so cool.
At night.
I knew that's what it was going to be.
Were
you?
Yeah. So June 25th is when he said, 8 p.m. prime time. That's great.
And I'm so glad they asked him.
And they're updating it. And you know that they'll be able to add much, much more to it as far as the production value goes.
Yes. And get much more brutal, like include acid.
Well, yes. I don't know about that.
Right, well, maybe not.
You never know.
It's going to be, with what they can do now and how they can cover things with, portable cameras and stuff like that, it'll be amazing.
All right, well, that'll be exciting, as is the next guest that we have here in our studio, and they are here to promote the Big Apple Circus, which is going on May 23rd through June 24th. We had just given away a big prize last week for that Word of the Week prize, and it will be at Philadelphia Mills, and we would like to welcome our next guest to the studio, who's actually been here before.
Yes.
And it's really cool that we have the one and only Mr. Nick Walenda.
Yeah!
Thanks for having me back.
The king of the high wire. Good to see you, sir.
Great to be here.
Welcome back. And you brought in tow with you a friend who is going to be involved in the Big Apple Circus as well. This is Elaine Kramer.
Yeah.
That's correct. Elaine's a contortionist.
A contortionist.
She is. And wearing a contortionist-type garb, it appears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're set
I gotta
to go.
I got to be ready for action at any time.
I guess so, yeah. Right? Wow. Well, listen, so Nick, you were here, man, it was several years ago, and it was right before you were going to be doing the Niagara Falls walk. You were in town, and you were doing one here.
That's right.
And that went over huge. Real quick, that the Niagara Falls thing, that had to have been unbelievable for you.
It was. It was a dream come true. You know, something that most people would think would never dream of.
Yeah.
But when I was probably about 6 or 7, my parents were performing in a circus in Buffalo, and I went and saw the falls and said it would be pretty amazing to walk across it. Didn't realize it was going to take changing 2 laws in 2 countries that were over 100 years old to get permission.
Yeah,
they don't like people doing that.
Yeah, hey, you know what? I do have a question about that. With the when moving water is underneath you, it can be disorienting.
Oh, absolutely.
The movement. I remember I went on a just a horseback trail ride, and we had to cross a river, and they said don't look down directly at the water because you'll start to get vertigo. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And I look down, and sure enough, it feels like you're moving in a direction.
What did I tell you?
They were right.
In a different direction than you're actually moving in.
It can become definitely dizzying.
Yeah.
And, I was surprised. I didn't know what I'd experience when I got to the middle of the falls because of that heavy mist. In fact, my dream was to disappear in the middle of that mist, and it happened in Canada. Actually, there was about 200,000 spectators, and they couldn't see me when I left the U.S. side, and I walked through that mist.
Oh, my gosh.
And which, again, was a dream come true. But I will say, as far as dizzying, it was the Grand Canyon when I walked over, having those rocks, that wall surface that I was walking to. And
the perception.
The wire sort of disappeared. And, yeah, the perception.
So with both of those, and also with the water and the flow with the Niagara deal, there are up currents and things that occur. How does one effectively meter?
I would tell you that my biggest concern, there's about 14 wire walkers that tried to get permission over the last 100 years to do that walk. And there was one of them that was really working on it furiously as I was alongside of me. I don't know why, other than I'm blessed that I got permission and he didn't. But he said it would be impossible. He said, in fact, there's no way you can stay on the wire to walk through the middle there.
Because of that very concern, yes.
And I was sitting out there with that on my mind. Of course, what I do is very, very mentally draining. So I was sitting out there the day before that walk looking, and I was with my father. And I saw that updraft, and I said, Dad, what do you think I'll experience out there? I'd talked to experienced helicopter pilots that do rescues in the falls, et cetera. Yeah. And he said, you know, we just sat there, and there were a bunch of seagulls flying around. And we watched a seagull fly right into that mist and come out the other side. And he didn't shoot up 250 feet in the air when we saw that. And he said, you see that seagull? If he can do it, he's made to fly, you're going to be fine and stay on the wire. And that's how I was able to sleep the night before.
Is that seagull on your payroll now?
He absolutely is.
I did watch it, so I do remember a lot of it. But how long did it take you? It
took me about 22 minutes to do that walk. Actually, I had 24 maybe something.
Okay.
What did you think of the you know, the Philippe Petit movie, The Walk, and the documentary Man on a Wire?
I loved the documentary.
Right.
The movie I wasn't as crazy about.
Right.
But, yeah, the documentary was amazing.
So, and that obviously speaks to what you do. You know, it's nothing that we can possibly imagine. That's why we count on people like you and your family, seven generations.
That's correct, yeah, over 200 years.
With that, we were just talking before you came on. With it, it's called a death-defying act, and death has occurred.
Yep,
and with that though, there are you know, there are things that are put in place now that it's improved as far as it's still a big risk.
Sure, technology definitely comes into play.
Right,
you know, right now I'm working on a walk over a volcano. Believe it or not, I just signed a new deal for two more TV specials, and part of that is technology. I'm working with a team of engineers for a stabilization system to try to keep that wire as stable as possible under my feet. But you're right, there is death, there is risks. You know, in 1962, my family was performing in Michigan, and there was an accident there where two of them lost their lives and one was paralyzed.
Legendary.
In fact, it's the seven-person pyramid, which we're performing here at the Philadelphia Mills Mall every evening through the next month.
I wanted to ask it because that was the famous famous one. It's sort of like a walking pyramid, right?
That's correct.
Of people, and it's amazing. And so people can come see this.
That's right. People can see it. It's, you know, we recreate history every evening on that show and every afternoon. There's a lot of opportunity for families to come see the show for sure.
Wow.
I got two questions. What were the stunts that they were doing in the first generation of Willendas? Like, you know, obviously they weren't walking across Niagara Falls. And the second question is, which volcano are you planning?
Yeah.
So there are several volcanoes that we're looking at right now.
Who wants to go to Hawaii?
Kilauea.
that one would be a little tough to walk now, especially. Although one of my requirements to walk over is I want active lava in the bottom of it for sure.
But
to answer your first question, my family started performing everything from flying trapeze to riding on horses, training tigers and lions. So seven generations of circus, four generations of wire walking. My great-grandfather is the one who brought the family over for Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus, actually, in 1928. And we performed there for about 16 years. He created the seven-person pyramid. He, of course, is very well known in this area because he walked over Vets Stadium on two different occasions.
That's wild.
Yeah,
So Elaine, as a contortionist, do you come in from a gymnastics background? Or does one, as a young girl, say, I'm going to be a contortionist?
Well, I'm a sixth-generation circus performer, so I grew up in the circus.
Okay.
My whole family's been in it. Obviously, everyone's done their own thing. My father was an acrobat. My mother was an aerialist. And I decided to do contortion at a very young age.
Do you notice, was there a moment where you were reaching for the remote and said, geez, I should be a contortionist?
Well,
or
I wasn't ever naturally flexible. I wasn't born double-jointed or anything like that. But I did enjoy watching other contortionists. So that's always been a dream of mine to perform and do contortion. And so I started when I was 4 years old. I asked my dad if he could teach me a little bit of contortion, and he did. Then I started doing more hand balancing, so now I have a combination of contortion and hand balancing. But as I was growing up, it kind of was like a natural thing to me because, I mean...
You've been surrounded by it.
Yeah, so like I would watch TV in like a split or...
I do too. I do. It's just my way.
One of the beautiful things about the Big Apple Circus is really we're able to show the world that nothing's impossible, or our audience at least.
It's an old, it's an age-old style of
it is.
Showmanship that is, you know, and it's throughout, whether it's the Cirque du Soleil or whatever, there's all... this is the foundation of it all, and all the others came from this style of performance.
That is correct. Yeah, and again, you know, my dream when I perform is to show, prove to my audience that nothing's impossible. If you set your mind to it, you work hard enough, nothing's impossible. And Elaine's the perfect example, and most people in our industry come from a generational background, whether they do, again, wire walking contortions, or they come from, you know, I've got a cousin that does flying trapeze, doesn't walk a wire at all. But we all stay in that industry, and I think there's just something that we're so passionate about it.
Yeah.
We're able to, again, you know, what a better life to live than to be able to show the world and hopefully inspire people that nothing's impossible.
Speaking of nothing's impossible, I've heard it's impossible to lick your own elbow. Can you do that, Elaine?
I can't do
you
that.
You can't? Ah, see? Nick, what are you telling us?
I think we have an intern that actually can lick her own elbow.
Really? I've seen people that said they could do it.
If we lick our intern's elbows, that's an HR issue.
Yeah, you're right.
It probably is.
Elaine,
I'd like to see that.
I have a question for you for hand balancing. Can you balance on somebody else's hands? And if so, who can you do it on anybody's hands, or does it have to be on a trained professional?
So I have a pedestal which I balance on. I can balance on the floor. I can balance on pedestals. I can balance on different things. I have done hand balancing on other people that know how to balance another person on their hands.
Okay.
But she doesn't trust you.
Okay.
Right? You knew that was the next question.
we're watching a video of your work right now. Usually it's just some kind of bizarre backbend thing that does not look like physics would allow you to be able to do that.
Looks like your shoulders would snap.
You know, Elaine does an amazing feat at the end of the act where she actually shoots a bow and arrow. While doing a handstand and hits a balloon and pops the balloon with
wow.
And just recently we were out in the back of the tent, the Big Apple Circus Big Top, and there's a little basketball hoop back there. And she actually did a handstand, and we were talking about it this morning because the video already has like 20,000 views. But she actually did a handstand, a backbend, with a basketball in her feet and shot a basket. First try and made the basket.
No way.
Pretty amazing.
See if they can find that video. So this is obviously, you know, there's so many things, you know what I like to do. I don't know if you have it. I'm sure you have it. The jugglers that rapid fire bounce the balls and all that stuff. I mean, it's
the show has, you know, it has something for everybody. We have a couple comedic characters that are hilarious. We have, of course, Elaine. We've got a juggler. We have an amazing flying trapeze, the Tenizianis, the gentleman, one of only 10 people in the world that do the quadruple somersault. And he'll attempt that every evening, which is amazing for me as an entertainer growing up in this industry. I'm out there every evening watching that because it's just extremely impressive. But we have horses, dogs, a little bit, again, something for everybody. We always say from age 1 to 101.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I
mean, we're watching
the video of Elaine, and it's unbelievable. This is like borderline superhero type of stuff.
It sure is.
I mean, wouldn't you call Elaine like somebody is trapped in a building and needs to be, you know, I'll climb up there and get him. You
I'll
know
call
what I mean?
Elaine.
And actually have Nick walk across from the other building.
Yeah.
Does your body hurt at all? Sometimes, yes, it does. It depends on the weather. Like, humidity is not good.
What kind of pickup lines do you hear from guys? Because I'm sure it's got to be the worst, right?
I try to ignore them. So.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm sure. I mean, it's there. I mean, that's part of, you know, the deal. I'm sure, but it's you know, this is just it's just amazing stuff to watch just on video. To see it in person, I'm sure, is even that much more impressive.
And watching some of your skills, Elaine, it looks similar, but obviously a lot different to like floor exercises in the Olympics for gymnastics. Do you have a gymnastics background?
Unfortunately, no. My grandmother was a ballerina,
a power lifter.
So I do have a little bit of ballet in me, but no gymnastics.
Do you think
no.
any of those skills would translate if you were to try to become an Olympic athlete?
So whenever I try to explain to someone what I do, I always say like, oh, I'm like an athlete like in the gymnastics league, because that's the only way I can get as close to explaining that.
I don't know if you're remotely prepared to do this, but we'd be remiss if can you do anything here, like a balance or anything?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if there's something, I don't know if we can get a...
She's like looking around.
Yeah,
she's looking at the counter. You can do anything up here.
Yeah, on the counter? Yeah. Sure, if that's not...
Well, do you want to shoot a basket with your feet? Because we got a basket in the corner over here.
There you go.
How about doing
Watch the lights above you.
There you go, right, yeah.
So she's going to climb. I'll try to describe. She's getting up on the counter here in the studio on her knees as of now.
Okay.
She is on her... I'll move this. On her forearms, and her legs are coming all the way over the
top. Wow. Just like Kathy does every morning. Hey! Yeah.
Well, you know what? Something similar. I'm trying to get to something similar to that in yoga.
Yeah. Can you untie your shoes with your mouth?
That's awesome. Come on. Give it up.
All right, now do that for the
just
rest
like
of the show.
Like just that, popped up there, yeah, and that
just,
was that.
Just do that without warming up.
Nothing.
And I think I actually got a hernia just watching her do it.
But yoga, she's right. In yoga, you'll see people that not to that level of efficiency, but attempt a similar position.
Is the hardest part smiling while you're doing that? Because
no, that's the easiest part. I love what I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what I do. I enjoy it. Practicing, not so much, but when I'm in the ring with the audience and the lights and everything, I really enjoy it. It's what I was born for.
Same thing, Nick, with you, because, I mean, you've got to be so focused.
Yeah, you know, I was born into it, but believe it or not, my parents really encouraged me to get out of the industry.
Yeah.
Because of
they wanted you to be a contortionist.
Yeah, well, exactly. No, but starving artists, we all know that lifestyle, and they were like, look, there's no future in this, so get out of it. And at 18, I was planning on going to school to become a pediatrician, and we were invited to recreate that pyramid that fell in 62, which we're doing again here at Big Apple. For the first time, there's the basketball shot.
Yeah, we're looking at the video of her, of Elaine shooting the basketball with her feet.
But recreate that pyramid.
That's
isn't
awesome.
That amazing?
Yeah,
that
so cool.
But we were invited to recreate that pyramid for the first time since 1962, and I did that and was like, you know what, this is my destiny, it's my calling, it's my passion, as Elaine was saying, it's what I love to do, and decided to carry it on. But in order to do it, I decided I was going to do things like walk over the Grand Canyon.
Of course. So why not?
In the circus, it's a combination of athletics and show business all wrapped into one. And both of those industries, you can run into egos and things like that. Is there some of that in the world of circus performing? Are there some people that are just like, eh?
Look, I'm the greatest in the world at what I do, but I don't have an ego.
Okay.
Just kidding.
I am by far the best that's ever lived.
He is.
Yeah. But that's your
I mean, look, I say it all the time. There's a lot of wire walkers that are better than me. I've just been blessed with the gift of the gab and great management, basically.
Mm. Let me ask you, Elaine, is there such a thing as a very large contortionist? Like, you know.
There is. So there's a lot of people that are born naturally flexible, so they don't really need to be at a certain weight or anything.
We always assume smaller and, you know, more sinewy.
Yeah, well, it is much easier, especially if you're doing it not as a hobby, but if it's your profession, then it's always better to be more fit, you know.
Right, right.
But there is bigger people, not just women, but also men who are naturally flexible and they do it as a hobby. So.
There's so many unbelievably athletic people in this industry. You know, with the trapeze artist?
Yes.
I was always impressed, Morton, not with the swing on the trapeze, but when they would climb up the rope with their legs straight out.
Yep.
Ta-da! Yeah. No, the show hasn't even started yet, man.
I always think of Pee Wee Herman and Big Top Pee Wee, and he did it with his whole body straight out.
Wow, well, it's cool you guys are in town for this stretch of time. So it's going to be May 23rd when it opens, which is, that's tomorrow. And it goes to the 24th at Philadelphia Mills. And if you want to get the tickets, they're available on BigAppleCircus.com. And, Nick, you will be performing every single day at this event?
I will, yeah.
And you as well, Elaine?
Yes.
Okay.
Tickets as low as $15. So great, very economic. Any family can afford it, and it's an incredible time.
And how many shows a day?
Sometimes three. On Saturdays, there's three shows a day.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, man. But also some other ones. Who are some other names on here? It says Ahmad.
Kenisiani?
Yeah.
He's the one who does the quadruple somersault on the flying trapeze.
Again, oh, my
God. His brother is an amazing juggler in the show. One of his brothers does one on America's Got Talent. I'm sure everybody saw that roller skating act where the guy was holding the girl and spinning around on a small table. There's an act just like that in the show.
Any pediatricians?
There are not any pediatricians.
In the centering?
I didn't even know that a quadruple somersault was possible.
Dude, yeah, again, only 10 people in the world have completed it.
Wow.
I just don't know how you can do that and actually know where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done two somersaults, and I'm like...
Use a post-it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Leave a little note.
Wow. Here you are.
Well, you guys are amazing performers, and we're excited that you're in the area and for
we're
this
excited
stretch
to be
time.
Here. Hope and to see everybody at the Philadelphia Mills Mall, BigAppleCircus.com.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for coming here today. So let's hear it for Elaine Kramer and Nick Walenda. And like I said, the ticket's available at BigAppleCircus.com. Amazing performers. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you, Kathy. I've got some bizarre file stories set aside for y'all, so let's do it.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents...
presents Desire. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback. You can create the backyard of your dreams during Sequoia Outback's annual Memorial Day sale. It's on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. I have two stories, actually four altogether. Two of them have very similar circumstances. Actually, it's two and then two. You'll see what
all
I
right,
mean
here. All right, we're waiting for the theme here.
All right, employees of a store say an angry customer drove her car into the building after an argument with employees. This crash happened at the Boost Mobile store in Tennessee in East Ridge. Haley Holloway, a sales employee, said that the woman wasn't happy about a new phone. And she said, no, I'm going to. This is BS, and I want to be on the news. And I said, ma'am, don't do this. And she said, no, I have to. She then closed her car door and gassed it and ran through the building. She wanted to be on the news, Steve. So she had to do it.
That's not something you want to hear from a disgruntled customer.
Holloway said, you get angry customers, but that one was beyond.
I want to be on the news.
No one was inside the store at the time, and thankfully no one was hurt. Now, this one a little bit more on the severe side, but similar. North Carolina man is in custody after police alleged he intentionally rammed his SUV into a restaurant on Sunday where his family members had been seated and killed his daughter and daughter-in-law.
Oh. Like, he had gone off the deep. He told people he'd gone off the deep end, right?
Yeah, I saw a follow-up story this morning about the fact that the guy had been struggling with mental illness, depression, and a few other things.
Didn't he ask his son to take away his gun? He had a gun?
Not sure, but it was pretty nasty. Roger Self has been charged with first-degree murder. Also injured in the attack were Self's wife, son, and 13-year-old granddaughter.
Dear God.
They're expected to survive. Police didn't give any indication what led up to the crash, but there are some follow-up stories this morning that you can take a look at. All right, now these next two stories are
happier.
A joyride in a motorized shopping cart landed a Largo couple behind bars on Thursday. Security cameras are rolling when Jeffrey Robert Sable and Santa Marie Walter stole a motorized shopping cart from a Walmart.
How fast did they go?
Not very fast.
Yeah.
The couple was seen driving off the property and heading west shortly after the theft was reported. The cart was spotted outside Jimmy's Sports Bar in Largo. An officer found the couple at the bar. After denying the theft,
gotta go back, got my cigarettes.
The couple admitted to taking the cart and was arrested on charges of grand theft, and they were booked into the county jail.
Look, I'm driving.
Now, what started out as a report of people using motorized scooters to run into people at a store on Thursday night ended up landing two Michigan men in jail. Police were called to the Walmart on a report of a disturbance with employees and customers. According to the caller, three adults with a child were driving around the electric handicapped scooters and trying to run into people in the store.
I want to be on Bizarre Fire!
When police arrived, the suspects were leaving the store and they started yelling and cursing at police. They were warned about a potential arrest for disorderly conduct, but they continued to yell and curse, and one gave police an inappropriate sign with his finger. Police initially took Tommy Fritz into custody.
It's old Tommy Fritz.
When Fritz was placed into handcuffs, a second man, Orlando Simpson, allegedly also began yelling and cursing and coming at officers aggressively. The woman who was with the child also argued with police, but she eventually left.
Honestly, though, you'd be mortified. It'd be the best show you'd ever seen.
Oh, my God, yes. Fritz, according to police, said that he and Simpson, quote, had been drinking and were acting stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. As if we needed an explanation.
Exactly. A 59-year-old man is in custody after he allegedly fired over a dozen rounds from what appeared to be an AK-47 at neighbors after complaining about noise that their children were making.
Well, I'm sure the AK-47 was louder than the noise.
The noise dispute between Franklin Lane Tomes and upstairs neighbors had been ongoing, according to an affidavit. The dispute sparked a verbal agreement between Tomes and the victims in the apartment complex parking lot on Tuesday night. During the argument, Tomes grabbed the 7.62 rifle from his car and loaded it. He then allegedly pointed it at them, but he didn't shoot.
Holy jeez.
He returned to his vehicle but only briefly before grabbing his rifle again and allegedly firing at least a dozen rapid-fire rounds at two victims while they ran away.
This mugshot is priceless.
Tomes faces...
If you ever wondered what happened to the lead singer of Whitesnake.
Yeah. Tomes faces two counts of first-degree assault, two counts of pointing a firearm at another, unlawful use of a weapon, 4 counts of reckless endangering, and 2 counts of attempted murder.
And just in general, being a bad neighbor.
Two 20-year-old men were taken to the hospital with gunshot wounds. I mean, they actually, some people got hit. One victim was shot in the shoulder, and another one was shot in each leg and a foot. After the shooting, Tomes holed up in an apartment, but surrendered early Wednesday after speaking with SWAT team negotiators.
Dude, calm down. It's not like you're unhappy with your phone.
Mm-hmm. A 3-year-old boy survived a harrowing accident Saturday when he plunged into a manure pit beneath a Honeybrook, Pennsylvania barn. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
The boy fell into the 10-foot deep pit below a dairy barn while it was open for cleaning. Fire crews tried to reach the toddler, but they risked becoming stuck in the thick manure themselves. You hear about people dying from this occasionally.
Absolutely.
Firefighters pulled back to provide ventilation and to try to keep the boy, who was floating on top of the muck, calm while they awaited a special agricultural rescue crew. Deputy chief said his whole body was sitting on the manure, so he was completely above the manure. But if he had moved around a lot, it would have been a different story. He said the manure is kind of like quicksand. The more you move, the more you sink.
Oh, my gosh.
In life, we all strive to be above the manure.
Chester County Rescue Task Force members wearing dry suits and rope harnesses worked their way toward the toddler by laying plywood across the manure, similar to an ice rescue.
This is like when the Jackass crew did this. You remember that? They jumped into the sewage treatment?
Yeah.
This is thicker, though, right?
Yeah, this is, I mean, like...
Yeah, it's like quicksand.
Yeah, if you stick your foot in it, the suction will pull it down even further. So once rescuers pulled the boy, who was awake and crying from the pit, he was decontaminated and taken to a hospital with minor injuries. It also took a considerable amount of time to decontaminate rescuers and their equipment as well.
Because of the poop, right?
Because of all that poop. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we got to fill up this theater. We have 100 pair of tickets totally give away for Action Point. And I'll take another 8 callers at 215-263-WMMR. This movie screening is on May 31st, 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. You need to be there no later than 6:30. It's in theaters everywhere June 1st. And if you come to Keenan's and our official opening of the Jersey Shore on Friday, we might have a chance for you to win a trip for two to the premiere of Action Point, and that will be on the 31st in Hollywood.
Very cool.
The trip includes airfare 2 nights at a Santa Monica area hotel, admission to the premiere, $175 Visa gift card for meals and sightseeing, and a 2-hour beach bar cycle tour for two and more. And the winner and guest must be at least 21 years of age. So call right now. We'll get you the movie tickets. And if you come to Keenan's, you might have a chance to win that 215-263-WMMR. We've had a Tattoos Day taking place. Going to have to meet up with Patrick, who got some ink this morning, and more when we get back. Stay there. Be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
It's the unofficial kickoff of summer. Summer doesn't begin for, I don't know, a few more weeks, I guess. I don't know the official date of the summer solstice.
21st, 22nd, something
like that. Somewhere in that range. Yeah.
Well, they've actually moved it now, and they've acknowledged this particular event as the official global beginning of summer.
Of the season?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I was not aware of that.
Well, we have that kind of power.
What else is I going to mention? Oh, yeah. MMR is doing our 50-50 this weekend. And it's the 50 greatest albums of the past 50 years, MMR's existence. And it's not a countdown. It's not a year-by-year thing. From what I understand, it's just 50 awesome albums that have been... Is this it, Casey? Yeah. That's been selected, yeah, from the years. And it starts Friday. Jackson will be beginning that at 3 o'clock. And I think we're going to play sets from the album. So we'll play like 3-song blocks, you know?
I love that. From just each enough.
Album. Yeah. And it's going to be sponsored by Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. So I love our music features on MMR, especially over Memorial Day weekend. In the past, we've done several different ones. We do, you know, the official countdown, or we have, summer songs and things like that. And it's just a fun way to look into some music that maybe you don't hear all that often. The when we do the what was the one where we do that countdown that just never ends?
Oh, A to Z.
A to Z. That's it. Yeah. Thank you. And that one's a lot of fun.
That's usually September, right?
Back to school A to Z.
Yeah. So another one of those programming moments coming this weekend, which is really cool. So make sure that you're with us through the course of the weekend. Let's do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Joel McHale from Community and the new Joel McHale show on Netflix, one night only, Friday, June 1st. So the question that I have for you is, what does Naomi Campbell use to beat her assistants? And it relates to another birthday. It's her birthday today.
Yeah.
And it relates to another birthday. 215-263-WMMR. What does Naomi Campbell use to beat her assistants? 215-263-WMMR. It's from early this morning. Let's do the trash well. You are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows, upgrade your home with Anderson Windows. ADMoyer.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, her name is Snow Melinda Saxman, and yesterday she filed paperwork in a Minnesota court claiming to be Prince's birth daughter. However, Saxman's case is already looking very thin, especially since she spelled Prince P-R-I-N-T-S.
Oh.
This is inaccurate. Caitlyn Jenner and her 21-year-old girlfriend, Sophia Hutchins, were spotted arm-in-arm smiling away as they left a trendy Calabasas restaurant on Sunday night. Hutchins reportedly swooned like a schoolgirl when Caitlyn thoughtfully refilled her water bottle by ripping the cover off a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Exactly. As Nick pointed out, yeah. And finally, Lifetime Television reportedly tackling the R. Kelly sex cult rumors with a docudrama series. From what we know, the series will focus in on those who have escaped his emotional hold and will be called Pissed On and Pissed Off.
Yeah. Wow.
That's your Hollywood Trash.
Bold. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What does Naomi Campbell use to beat her assistants? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go over to Jake and try it out. Jake, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what does Naomi Campbell use to beat her assistants?
Is it Morrissey CDs?
Morrissey CDs. That is correct. Hang on there, bud. We'll get your information. And we are going to award you with a pair of tickets to see hilarious comedian Joel McHale from the new, TV show Community and the new Joel McHale show on Netflix. One night only, Friday, June 1st at 8 p.m. at the new Excite Center at Parks Casino. ParksCasino.com for tickets. You must be at least 21 years of age. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We shall do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you this morning by Dietz and Watson, Real Philly Deli. Looking for a real sandwich? Try the Linden Club at Linden Italian Market and cast your vote in the Real Philly Deli face-off at realphillydeli.com. And they are down to the final four, gang, and all four are here this morning.
Amazing.
It's tough competition, but you are the judge. The upcoming Nine Inch Nails release, Bad Witch, will be issued as a full-length album and not an EP. This is happening despite the fact that it is relatively brief and it is the third entry following 2016's Not the Actual Events and 2017's Add Violence in what was originally billed as a trilogy of EPs.
How brief is it?
Posting in a Nine Inch Nails fan forum under the name Titian, I think is how it was, but Trent Reznor responded to a user named Quantum550 who wrote that an album consists of seven tracks at minimum and runs over 30 minutes in length. Now, Reznor replied, want to know why it's being labeled an LP instead of an EP? EPs show up with singles in Spotify and other streaming services. That means they get lost easier. EPs feel less important in today's music isn't as important as it once was world. Why make it easier to ignore? We're not charging any more for it, so why get worked up about it, he said. Then apparently the person, Quantum550's comment, said that the EP was, quote, delayed by a lack of inspiration, and Reznor retorted, Reznor retorted with, Quantum550, suck my entire C word.
Wow, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Dave Grohl acted as a judge at the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest in Memphis this past weekend. That's a big deal. The one in Memphis?
Yes. Is it the biggest?
It's the World Championship.
Grohl, this world, right? Our planet.
Met with a number of fans, even briefly jamming with some. He also played a bit with country singer Tim Montana. Taylor Hawkins said that not long ago that Grohl remains approachable and down to earth despite his success. He said he's definitely not a rock star in any way, shape, or form. You know, he doesn't have that so much the sense of entitlement with so many guys out there that I see. He said, like, playing festivals and stuff. You see some of these people, and you're like, dude, you're just an effing musician. And most of the time, people who act like that aren't even good ones. But he says that Dave is a pretty down-to-earth and easily approachable guy.
Do you know if he has any barbecue chops?
Don't know.
But, any grilling chops?
Probably just a fan.
Yeah.
Blink-182 singer-bassist Mark Hoppus was asked in a new interview with Las Vegas Magazine if former guitarist and vocalist Tom DeLonge would be invited to participate in the band's upcoming Las Vegas residency. Hoppus said, "We haven't really talked about that at all. I mean, there's no hard feeling or bad blood between us and Tom. He's doing his thing, and we support him entirely, but we haven't talked about him coming out at all." Blink, of course, parted ways when DeLonge in early 2015 refused to commit to recording and touring plans with the group. He decided to spend more time pursuing his interests in the paranormal and conspiracy theories involving UFOs.
We are ready to transmit.
Meanwhile,
we are ready to transmit.
The residency itself, dubbed Kings of the Weekend, will take place at the Palms Casino Resort and last for 16 dates starting May 26th and continuing on select weekends through November 17th. Hoppus revealed in the interview that the band is considering doing some recording while they are in Vegas. Guns N' Roses has released a previously unseen music video for the song It's So Easy from the band's 1987 debut album Appetite for Destruction through Apple Music. Filmed live in 1989 at the infamous Cat House in Los Angeles, It's So Easy was never completely finished and remains in the vaults unseen and unreleased. The footage was recently uncovered for inclusion in the upcoming box set reissue of Appetite and has been digitally restored in 4K UHD from 16mm film transfers. In addition, the original conceptual scenes were edited back in with the live footage, just as the band had originally intended.
Is he wearing a kilt?
I don't know. The newly announced Locked and Loaded deluxe box set of Appetite for Destruction is due out on June 29th. And I thought this was kind of fun. During Saturday night's concert in Portland, Oregon, Paul Simon briefly forgot the lyrics to his 1990 The Rhythm of the Saints song, The Cool, Cool River.
Wow.
And in a hysterical bout of self-humiliation, he forced himself to sing one of his classic tunes that he absolutely hates. And it's the 1966 Simon and Garfunkel classic, The 59th Street Bridge Song, also known as Feeling Groovy. And he hates that song, but he did it.
It's sweet song.
It's fun. Ultimate Classic Rock posted that Simon told the crowd, "Because I made a mistake and forgot the lyrics of that song, I'm going to penalize myself, and I'm going to sing one of my songs that I loathe." He said, "This will teach me because I hate this song."
So if you like this song, you're an idiot.
Although Paul Simon's earliest tunes are still beloved and performed, he admits that he has little in common with the young man who wrote them. He said in an interview, "These songs that I wrote when I was in my 20s, which are like Kathy's song, he said, I don't remember who that writer was." He said, "They were very natural. They were whatever was on my mind. They're sort of straightforward." He said that period came to its conclusion, maybe with the end of Simon and Garfunkel.
So is this tour coming to Philly? It is, it?
It is, it is. And he is, this is it. This is farewell.
Gone.
Tour. He's finished after this, so... I don't know the date offhand, but...
He's going to walk across the Niagara Falls.
Yeah, he's going to go across Delaware River.
Delaware River, yeah.
Nick is pulling up the date.
June 16th, same 16th? Day as the blood drive.
Wow, okay.
And also, maybe he'll come out, Nick.
Yeah, maybe. Although it doesn't look like he has a lot of blood to donate at this point.
Not at all. He doesn't have a lot of blood in that body.
There's Dave Matthews Band is in town that weekend as well. So there, Dave is doing Friday and Saturday in Camden. Paul will be at the Wells Fargo Center on June 16th, Saturday.
And we'll be bleeding.
We will.
And that is what I have for you this morning in music news. We'll take another break. We'll come back in a second. We're going to wrap this thing up in just a moment or two. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. We'll see how the tattoo has been coming along with our tattoo recipient. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
WMMR. Online, on demand, and on the air. Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD and HD2. The MM Archives channel.
spend time with him. Now, today is Tuesday, and that means that we turn into a tattoo parlor on Tuesday. So we want to welcome a couple of people to our studio and see how things went. First of all, listener Patrick is here.
Yeah.
So let's hear it for Patrick. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Preston. How's it going?
Doing great, man. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. And our artist today is Brian.
Brian.
From Philadelphia. And he's, hey, Brian.
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So, Patrick, where are you from, first of all, sir?
Warminster.
From Warminster. And you got much ink on you, or is this, no?
This is only my second.
No kidding.
All right. What was your first?
Yeah.
Tattoo I got up on my shoulder. I'll show you later.
Okay.
All right. Can't elaborate any further on it on the radio?
I mean, we'll probably have some drinks and then go to a hotel, yes. I'm assuming.
I got to show you.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to take a shot.
All right.
Hard to explain. Woo! And it is something.
Family.
Blood means family.
Family. It's about family.
And family doesn't mean blood.
They say we inherit the sins of our fathers.
It's a tribute to Vin Diesel, right?
Yes, exactly.
No.
Okay.
This is way before Vin.
Okay. Gotcha. What did you get today?
I got a dragon.
A dragon?
And it's an awesome dragon. It's actually clawing. Ooh. It appears to be clawing at your own flesh.
Oh, dude.
As dragons are wont to do.
Brian, that's cool, man.
Thanks.
Do you get a fair amount of people that want to do that, you know, the ripping skin or something's on the other side of the skin?
A little bit. Not too much. But
it can be tough to pull that off, I would imagine, if you're not, you know, well-versed in it.
Everything could be tough.
Yeah. well, this one turned out really, really cool. Why a dragon there, Pat?
It's about family.
Nah, I was into D&D a lot when I was growing up.
Oh, well, Vin Diesel was into D&D. It all comes together.
Actually, he was.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah.
Nice.
Just a bit.
So this isn't fashioned after any particular dragon?
No.
Okay.
This is all out of Brian's head.
All right. I like it, man. Are you a fireman, a firefighter?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, who do you, what company?
Ivyland Fire Company.
And where's that?
Just outside of Warminster.
Okay, just outside.
All right.
All right. And is that a full-time job for you or you're volunteer?
That's volunteer.
All right. What do you do for a living?
I'm a truck driver.
Okay, cool. On the road a lot then?
Yeah.
All right.
Driving tracks with dump trucks, so.
Okay. Really? Okay.
Yep. I see them all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Anybody you want to say hello to while you're here?
Well, everyone from Ivyland Fire Company, of course. I want to say hi to my wife and daughter, Karen and Abigail.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, yes, of course. I haven't quite patterned my hairstyle after him yet.
I have, yeah.
By the way, the tattoo has the Preston and Steve initials, which is pretty cool. So, Brian, how long have you been working at Eddie's?
A while. A couple of years. A
couple of years now? Okay. Nobody's really talkative today.
Well, they bonded over a dragon.
I guess so.
Give these men some time to calm down.
We should definitely do that.
I'm not usually up this early.
Yeah.
Do you have a social media account where people can see your work?
Yeah, Brian H. Tattoos.
Brian H. Tattoos.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a Y.
I love it. Wait.
Brian.
Oh, B-R-Y-A-N. All right.
Yes.
Tattoos is spelled with a Y. I'm like, wait a minute.
It's silent.
Yeah, tattoos.
It can be tattoos.
Tattoos.
Well, cool. Well, you do great work, man. We're impressed. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you guys coming by here. Let's hear it for Patrick.
Yay!
And Brian. And Brian is at Philadelphia Eddie's, and their website is PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com for those who may be interested in that. Thank you to Mr. Mark Summers for being on the program today. Mark had some breaking news for us. It's Double Dare is coming back.
It's happening.
It's going to be on Nickelodeon, and it will be Nick at Night at 8 o'clock. And Mark is the executive producer of the show. He will not be hosting it. There's a young lady who is a social media star, and I had written down her name. I forgot it, but I was quite familiar with her. And he's stoked, and it's looking like the 25th is when that's going to kick off, June 25th.
It is very cool.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
So he said he will appear on the show, but this young lady will be the host.
Yeah.
It's, Liza?
Iza Kashi.
Liza
Kashi. Yeah, that's it. And thank you to Nick Walenda.
Yeah.
And Elaine Kramer that came by. Very impressive. And they are in town for the Big Apple Circus, which is at the Philadelphia Mills Mall, formerly the Franklin Mills Mall. Starting tomorrow through the 24th. And they got like several shows a day for the next month or so. You can get your tickets at BigAppleCircus.com. They're doing crazy stuff. Like, I mean, the 7-person high wire pyramid.
Yeah,
they're doing that.
Killed a number of the Walendas, you know, decades ago, but they obviously have perfected it.
Yeah, so a lot going on. It's a big deal. So thank you for them coming by. And thank you to Dietz and Watson.
Yay!
The real Philly Deli face-off is taking place. And thanks so much to Swarthmore Co-op. They brought by the Santa Fe. Marinucci's Deli with Addie's Hot Chicken Hoagie. DePasquale's at Meadowbrook brought in the kitchen sink. And Linden Italian Market had the Linden Club. Those are the final four. You need to vote for them, your favorite, at phillymag.com/RPD and decide who the winner is going to be.
Some amazing food out there.
Yep. All right, we need to do the letter of the day, right?
Yeah, I can
all
do
right,
it.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
E, as in each.
All right, we're going to give away a 20-pack of tickets to Strike Force Laser Tag, good for 1 hour at their facility in Westchester. Another brainchild of the Bates folks who brought you Bates Escape Rooms and the Bates Motel. Strike Force Laser Tag is an intense, unique indoor tactical laser tag arena that's different than anything you've ever played before. You can visit them at 5440 East Union Street in Westchester or StrikeForceLaserTag.com. So we will give that away on Friday. Marissa has posted the seven wonders of the Delaware Valley. Actually, more than seven. There's some honorable mentions. So all those calls that we took this morning, we have info on them, and there might even be links and locations and
very
stuff
cool.
Like that.
I think it's actually the 10 seven wonders.
If you want to check that out, the 10 seven wonders of the Delaware Valley. So that's available for you to partake upon on our website and our social media. So check that out when you get a chance. Thank you to the sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. Try the new mocktail flavors at Rita's. And the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Center, the number 4, healing.com. Don't forget, we're looking for coolest teacher, Malvern Prep in Malvern, PA. Text the word teacher by the teacher's name to 39333. Tomorrow morning, we'll find out who that is and award the prizes. And also tomorrow, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day, and we'll get into some other stuff. We're sitting on a lot of prizes, so we'll have to do some kind of blowout tomorrow. That's it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
I'm starting to think that maybe three people from the state of Pennsylvania know how to f-ing drive. Those three people, I f-ing love you. I'll name my newborn after you, but the rest, go f- yourself.
Next message.
After hearing about weddings this morning, I would like to say I love you to my fiance. We're getting married in a couple weeks, and thank you for putting up with my crazy family.
Next message.
I am so I've been trying to do outside projects on my house for the last month, and I can't because of the rain. I hate rain.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.